Glad you're here. I've got several pastor friends here tonight. I'm not going to call names because I'm afraid I'm going to miss somebody. But I was going to say, if you're a pastor, please stand. How about that? Come on. That's the way it should be. Come on. Everybody's a pastor. Everybody's a minister of the gospel, right? We're going to have a good time tonight. Father, in Jesus' name, we want to thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for this day, a day that we've set aside to worship you, to honor you, Lord. We pray your presence in this place, God, as your people come together, would be released, God. Let the atmosphere shift and change, God, according to your divine directives and your orders. We pray for Jonathan tonight, God, that you would anoint him with holy boldness from on high, God, the fire of the Holy Spirit to minister to your people. Father, I pray that every need would be met tonight and that you would receive the glory, the honor, and the power in all things, Lord. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, put your hands together for the Lord, would you? Welcome to this church from Raleigh, North Carolina. Focus Worship Team. Give it up for them, would you? Come on.
Hey! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, put those hands together with us. Come on, come on, come on. Hey! We're going to lift up the name of Jesus tonight. Are you excited tonight? Are you excited about revival tonight? Hey! Come on! Hey! Listen, listen. We love to call your name. It's something we cannot explain that happens when we proclaim your great name. Your great name, yeah.
There's power in the name of Jesus.
So much power.
There's power in the name.
Hey, this change when we come. When I call your name,
when I call your name,
something happens when I
call.
And earth proclaim. But there's something about that
tonight. Lord, we thank you that the power of your presence is already alive and active and moving in this room. God, we thank you that we can come before an almighty God just as we are. And we thank you that you have granted us access to your same power that rose your son from the dead. God, we thank you for access to your power to overcome every attack of the enemy on our lives. God, we thank you for access to the power that sets people free. Only in your name, Jesus. Only in your name. God, tonight we invite your presence into this room. We declare that you are welcome here to move and have your way. Do what only you can do, Jesus. Let's sing this very simple song out together tonight and just invite the Lord to come and dwell amongst us. Come. Holy Spirit, come, ignite our hearts to flame, to burn for you. Come, Holy Spirit, come, ignite our hearts to flame, to burn for you. Come on, let's make that our heart's cry tonight. Sing, come, Holy Spirit, come. for your revival. More of you, Lord. An army sent for battle, ready for your outpouring. More of you, Lord. Come on, we're gonna make the darkness tremble tonight.
We'll be a generation.
We're hungry for your revival, Lord. Declare that in this room tonight.
An army sent for battle.
Come on, we're ready. We ask for more of you, Lord. Come on, sing it out with everything that you've got. We'll be a generation. We are hungry for more of who you are. We ask you for more, God. Pour it out on your people. Pour it out on us, Lord.
An army set for battle, ready for your outpour. We're ready, Lord.
We'll be a generation hungry for your revival. More of you, Lord. We're hungry, Lord. An army set for battle, ready for your outpouring. More of you, Lord. More of you, Lord. More of you, Lord. More. Let's lift up our voices and sing out to the Lord. Just sing out your worship to Him tonight. Invite His presence here in this room. He is here. Oh, we ask You for more.
Be done here as is. Vocals only. A miracle can happen now. For the Spirit of the Lord.
For the Spirit of the Lord is here.
The evidence is all around. Yeah. That the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Spirit of the Lord is here. Yeah. Oh, we love you, Jesus.
A miracle can happen now.
Oh, we bask in the presence of the Lord.
For the Spirit of the Lord.
Lord a hand of praise in this place. Can we just worship the name of Jesus? Come on, lift up the name. Come on, lift up the name. Let your praises arise in this place, all over this room. The name of Jesus is going to do miracles in this place tonight. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, church. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, sing it. Sing it. Already moving in this place. Let's just wait on him another few moments. Come on, just find yourself alone with him right now. Forget about everything else. Waterfalls crashing in all over this place right now. I see fresh water being poured out. The living water that comes only from Jesus is being poured out tonight. In your own way, just take a drink. Right now, in this moment, just receive it. And it's not just gentle water, it's waterfalls crashing in on this place. Some of us need a waterfall to come and shake up the stuff in our life. Just receive it. Just receive it.
Guide us to living.
Jesus, we worship you. Jesus, we honor you. We love you tonight. We lift up your name. We declare that you alone are holy. You alone are worthy. You alone are true, King of kings and Lord of lords. Father, let our praise arise to you as a sweet fragrance, as a holy incense, precious to your nostrils. Father, would you pour out your glory on us tonight in a fresh way? Father, we're not asking for just a regular service tonight. God, we're asking you for an encounter. God, we're asking you for transformation in our hearts, in our lives, in our churches, in our communities, God, in this region of northeastern North Carolina. God, we're asking for transformation. Father, don't leave your children hungry tonight. You said in your word that if a son asks for bread, will we give him a stone? If we, being evil, give good gifts to our children, how much more, O Heavenly Father, will you give us your Holy Spirit? So tonight, God, we ask you for your Holy Spirit. We ask you, God, for the bread of life to be made manifest here in us tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Praise God. Wow. Wow. Do you feel the anointing of the Lord in this place? Do you feel that spirit of refreshing? Come on, give him a hand. Jesus. Man, I could just go all night, brother. What do you do after that? Praise the Lord. Well, I want to thank Focus Church and their worship team for blessing us tonight. Can we just give these lovely people a hand? We took our kids to summer camp not too long ago, and Focus Church was leading worship, and our kids absolutely loved it. I told them that you were going to be here tonight. One of them wanted to be here so bad when she found out you were coming, and it just didn't work out, so... But they love you. We love you. You guys are awesome. Thank you for blessing us tonight. Come on, can we just give them another hand? This is an anointed ministry. They have a CD in the back, Focus Church, Focus Worship. Make sure you pick up one of these. Support their ministry. Take this home with you tonight. Take this home with you. This is a powerful, powerful ministry, and we want to bless them, and we want to take them home with us so that we can be blessed as well. Amen. Praise the Lord. Pastor, I know you want to do this earlier. If there's any ministers in the house, would you stand up? Where are you at? Any ministers in the house? Pastors. Come on, let's just recognize these men of God, these women of God. Thank you for coming tonight. Thank you for coming. This morning we had about 12, 15 people give their lives to the Lord. So it's already started. Miracles are breaking out in this place. We've seen healings already today. We've seen chains broken off of people, and we're excited for what God is going to do in this place tonight. Come on, are you excited? Are you ready to be set free tonight? Freedom Revival. That's what we're calling this. We're honored tonight to have Evangelist Jonathan Shuttlesworth all the way from Philadelphia. This is an anointed man of God. If you've ever heard of Smith Wigglesworth, if you've ever heard of R.W. Shambach, and you may have heard of the Shuttlesworth family as well. And so we're just honored to have you here tonight. There's a powerful prophetic anointing on this family. And it's not just about reaching the church. It's about reaching the lost. Amen. This is a man who doesn't just fill stadiums, but he fills outdoor spaces in downtown areas to bring thousands to the name of Jesus. Amen. And that's what we want to see happen in our region. We want to see transformation. We don't want this to just stay in the church. We want to take it out. And so I challenge you tonight. Come on. I challenge you tonight to grab a hold of Jesus. Grab a hold of the Holy Spirit so that you can take this with you wherever you go. Without further ado, can we just give a big Carpenter Shop, North Carolina regional welcome to evangelist Jonathan Shuttlesworth.
Give Jesus a great big hand clap. Boy, that's faith to give somebody a standing ovation when you haven't even heard him. Hallelujah. How many of you are ready for God to touch you tonight? Well, stay on your feet. I'll let you sit down for a little while. Lift both hands to the Lord if you would. I've been praying this pretty much since the beginning of the year, because when God spoke to Jeremiah, he talked to him to do six things. Two were positive and four were destructive. And I think that's what the church in America has missed a lot. You can't be for everything. You can't make peace with Goliath. And so there's enemies that want to see America destroyed. And you can clearly see that. That's what's been flushed out in about the last 3 years. You've seen that there's actually an active attempt by people that are supposed to help America to see America destroyed. But God's not finished with America yet. Can you say amen? And so I was in Allentown, Pennsylvania, and I felt it come on me real strong and prayed it publicly. Father, everything that's been planted in this country that wasn't planted by you, let it be uprooted and destroyed. And every plan that's looking to be hatched, destroy it before it can get off the ground. And I don't know if you heard it, they barely covered it on the news. That week, they found out that guys that had ties to the World Trade Center bombing, Islamic jihadists, were running a camp in New Mexico with 11 teenagers, training them to do school shootings this year. And it got busted that week. They never covered it because it doesn't have anything to do with Kendall Jenner announcing a new perfume line or anything like that. But that got busted. And then I'm trying to think what the other thing was that happened this week. Anyway, I've been praying that, and it's like one thing after another has been getting uncovered. And basically, that's all you need for God to do, is shine the light on what's being done in secret and expose it and make it open. And so with every hand lifted, Father, we thank you that you are working on behalf of your people. I thank you that America is not ever going to turn into Canada or England or Germany. We're not going to lay down to this globalist spirit that wants to bring everything under an Antichrist agenda. No, we're here to say enough is enough. And in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you said, Father, whatever we bind on earth, you'll back it from heaven. I curse every plot of the United Nations, every plot being done behind closed doors by the Bilderbergs or whoever else to see this country brought low. Let every plan of the devil be destroyed tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Father, you said whatever we loose on earth, you'll loose in heaven. We loose revival in the United States of America. From Edenton, North Carolina, over to Maui, Hawaii, from Wasilla, Alaska, down to Laredo, Texas, we say America shall be saved in Jesus' name. Shake New York City, shake Charlotte, shake every country hamlet down in the South in Jesus' mighty name. Shake the high schools this year. Light our young people on fire. Let them go back to school and drive every devil out. And we give you all the thanks, all the praise, all the honor and glory in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said? Well, before you're seated, you can see God's not finished with America. Crowds up from Sunday night. That's not a normal thing. Christianity Today says that Sunday night services don't work. So somebody take a picture and send it to them so they know they don't know what they're talking about. Can you say amen? Then I drove past the Jehovah's Witness Hall on my way here, and their parking lot was empty, so I'm doubly happy. Praise the Lord. The devil's down and the church is up. Give Jesus one more great hand clap and you can be comfortably seated. That was great drumming. One of the five best I've heard in 16 years of travel. That's awesome. How many of you are ready for the Lord to touch you tonight? Praise the Lord. I'm staying in Edenton, North Carolina. I don't know if you know where that is. I've been there twice now, and I still don't know where it is. But it's about an hour drive, and boy, what a beautiful... You know, I've only been to Elizabeth City one time for about 45 minutes. That's the only time I was ever in North Carolina. And so all I think about is North Carolina is you, because this is the only place I've ever been. But what a pretty state. It's not too often you drive. Of course, where I'm staying is about 50 minutes from here. On a map, it looks so close. It's only like 3/4 of an inch, but then in real life, it's like a lot further. And so anyway, it's not too often you drive an hour somewhere and are sad the hour trip's over. What a beautiful state that you've chosen to live in. North Carolina is great. Well, that was my attempt as an evangelist to try to find some common ground and compliment your state, and it fell flat, so I'm just going to move on. Amen. The pastor told me that some of the people that are here had my Uncle Ted in. Of course, my grandfather was the first one saved in our family. He saw an attractive girl in West Virginia when he was a teenager and went to pick her up, ask her if she wanted to go on a date. And before he could get to her, she walked under a tent. So he didn't know the circus was in town. He just went under the tent to pursue the girl. And it turned out he walked headlong into a Pentecostal tent meeting. And it totally messed his whole life up. Never got the date with the girl. Everything just went the other direction. He got saved that night, went to Bible college, met my grandmother, who's right around 86 years old, still living in West Virginia. My grandfather went to heaven back about 2012, 2013. And then they had four boys. All four boys are preachers, two evangelists, two pastors. And then now all the grandkids are in the ministry. My cousin just finished preaching in Brooklyn. My sister's preaching in Montreal tonight, and I'm down here with the great people of North Carolina. And anyway, that's where I come from. So I've been preaching for 16 years, and there came something over me in 2015 where I preached my guts out outside of, by the way, they said I'm from Philadelphia. I'm from Pittsburgh. That's why I don't have any bullet wounds. Amen. If I was from Philly, you would notice the stab wounds coming down my face. I wish that was a joke, but it's actually not. And so actually I was preaching outside of Philadelphia. And I had preached, and when I was preaching that night, something bubbled over my spirit. I said, Philadelphia is a mess. And they looked at me like, okay, if you don't like our city, feel free to go back to Pittsburgh. You know, that's not what you do as a public speaker, tell people how lousy their place is. But I wasn't saying that to insult them. I had gone out to get a cheesesteak the night before, and we had just come back from Hawaii, so my time was all messed up. They're 6 hours behind, so my wife and I would get hungry for dinner at like 9 or 10 at night. So I'm walking out late at night in Philadelphia. There's inner city Muslims everywhere. And major drug problem. I have an article saved on my phone that they had 160 some overdoses in 1 week in Philadelphia. The cops were having to revive people two at a time. So anyway, you see people my age with half their body drawn up from blowing out their nervous system and scratching their face. That's the devil. And for some reason, it's like the Lord opened my eyes to it, and it ticked me off that this city that was given a land grant so that Christians could have a place to freely worship God had been, you know, basically taken over by the devil. And so I'm preaching that, and I said, Philadelphia is a mess. I said, somebody needs to do something about it. And when I said somebody needs to do something about it, the Lord convicted me, because the Lord never shows you anything so that somebody else can do something about it. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to do something about it. I said, this meeting ends on Wednesday. I don't have to be anywhere till Sunday. I'm going to set up my speakers. That baby waved on the way out. What a nice baby. Hello, baby. If you'd like to be a ministry partner, have your mother fill out one of the forms on the back table. Anyway, I said, you know what? I'm going to take my speakers and sound system and set it up in downtown Philadelphia and just preach till somebody arrests me. I said, this new generation of people needs to hear the gospel. They were still just staring at me like, whatever. Sounds like somebody woke up on the wrong side of the bed, but I knew I had my marching orders. So I sent my wife and daughter up for bed, and I took two laps around the hotel and had a conversation with God. I said, Father, you came to me powerfully when I was 8 years old and called me to be an evangelist. I said, if we have 100 people come to the altar every night, 6 nights a week, 50 nights a year, think of that. If you had 100 people come to the altar tonight, it would look like it would photograph really well for Instagram. It would look like you had a great service. And if 50 of those were brand new people that had never been to church, first time decisions for Christ, which I don't even know that you could You know, at a church of 2,000, I don't know that there's 50 people in most churches that have never been to church. But if there were, that's like your best case scenario. And if you do the math on that, the most people you could ever have received Jesus Christ in a year would be 15,000 people. 6 nights a week, 50 weeks a year. Having 100 people come to the altar with 50 visitors. I know people say numbers aren't important to God, but it's always odd to me that he wrote an entire book of the Bible called Numbers, if they're not important to him. In fact, you almost feel like God's obsessed. He counts everything. Sheep, goats, she-goats, hair. And so I made my case to God. I said, Father, this nation has 320 million people. The most I can get saved doing things the way I'm doing it right now is 15,000. That's not, if I did that for 50 years, I would touch planet Earth and leave planet Earth and nobody would know I ever came. I'm asking you to open a door where we can have as many people receive Jesus Christ in one night as it takes 3 months traveling to churches to do. I don't know how to do it, but you know how to do it. I can't promote myself to that position. I told the Lord outside. I said, my uncle's not head of the Southern Baptist Church. I can't put in a request and ask if I can be the national evangelist. But you can promote anybody. You're the God of promotion. You said promotion doesn't come from the east or the west or the south, but promotion comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. And so I'm putting in a request. And I told him, because I know anything that doesn't happen, it's not his fault, it's my fault. I said, if there's anything you've asked me to do that I haven't done that's keeping me back from you doing that, let me know and I'll do it right now. If there's anything you've asked me to quit doing and I'm still doing it, you let me know. I will stop it in the next 2 minutes. But I want to take a run at this thing. Over to you in Jesus' name. And I went back inside and there was a guy standing outside smoking a cigarette that looked really nervous. You know, you walk around in a suit and a tie having a conversation with the sky and then intermittent with tongues. But you know, if that makes you nervous, go stay at another hotel. Amen. Should have stayed at a different hotel than me. So I go back inside. And then back then I was doing noon and 7 services, 12 p.m. and 7 p.m. So I go at about 11:45 to do the noon service. And the pastor, Brother Farina, was 79 years old at the time. He runs down the center aisle, runs. You see a 79-year-old run, something's important. He said, Brother Jonathan, he's from the Bronx in New York. His parents are both from Italy, and he's been preaching for 60 years. So with all those things factored in, he sounds like an extra on The Godfather. He said, Brother Jonathan, you're never going to believe what happened. I said, what? He said, do you remember last night when you said you're going to set your sound system up in downtown Philadelphia and just preach till somebody arrests you? I said, unfortunately, I do remember saying that. He said, well, a lady was watching the live stream last night who's connected to the city council. And she went in today and said, there's a Pentecostal evangelist in our town that said he wants to preach downtown and get the drug addict saved and delivered. And he said he's going to preach till we arrest him. I thought maybe we could give him a permit so we wouldn't have to arrest him. They want to meet with you as soon as you can to give you any of the parts to use to preach. Man, when I heard that, I thought, gee, God, we are actually praying to a living God. Before I called, God already had the wheels in motion for the answer. Can you say amen? God's going to answer somebody tonight in Jesus' name. What you thought could never happen will be done before the end of tonight in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, can you shout a living amen? Amen. Amen. And so anyway, without going into a ton of detail, we pulled that thing off. Even when we got the permit and the stage and the money to do it, I thought, well, who's going to show up? I'm not nationally famous. I'm not even locally famous in my own household. Sometimes my wife forgets what my name is. And so I'm standing there wondering, at about 4 p.m., I thought, well, who's going to come? I'm going to have this stage set up with a park. There's going to be like 30 people there. And then I get a picture sent to me from our photographer that an hour before registration started, we had 2,200 people in line to register. And so on opening night, we had 3,100 people. We had, 700 and some decisions for Christ on opening night. And then the crowd just kept growing. It was amazing. It was 91 degrees out, 93 degrees out, and I didn't have any chairs. People stood, raw sinners. I mean, I'd never done a crusade. It was wild preaching to sinners because they were easy to preach to. They didn't have any religion. You actually realize after you do crusades that it's not sin that's the problem. It's religion that's the problem. Those were the easiest people I ever preached to. This one guy had a 40-ounce can of Coors beer, and I made one strong point. He went like this, amen. I made a second strong point. He went, amen. And then the third strong point, he went, eh. He got it. So by Tuesday night, the people figured out there were no chairs. I mean, we were in the hood, nice town, Philadelphia, the second poorest, second most violent part of Philadelphia, one of the bottom 10 in the country. And so by night two, if you weren't raised in the projects, you just think there's the projects. But when you go to the projects, you find out, people will say, like, I don't live in the bad projects, I live in the good projects. We were in the bad projects. And so by Tuesday night, people realized there weren't any chairs. They started to bring their living room couches from the projects and put them on the field to sit. So you'd get up to preach, it looked like Sanford and Son was having a yard sale in the park. It was awesome. So I'm driving. We're going to have fun tonight. Amen. And so I'm driving to the field and on Tuesday night, and I thought, Lord, this is wonderful. But now what? Am I going to do one of these and then nothing? I couldn't open the door for this, and I can't open the door for any more. If you feel like I've done a good job, will you please open another door for us to do more of these? And I kid you not, I get there that night, parked my car under the graffiti-covered bridge, which was VIP parking, and we parked in a different spot every night, so this had to be the Lord, that this pastor's waiting for me to give me a word, because I didn't park in the same place every night. That's why I still had my car when I was finished with the meeting. Amen. And so I pull under the bridge, and that same pastor who had now turned 80, and remember, it's about 93 degrees out, he's standing there, right where they have for me to park. I got out. I said, Brother Farina, what are you doing here? You know, he lived about an hour from where we were having the meeting. I said, it's 93 degrees out. You're already saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. You've been preaching for 60 years. You don't have to stand out here and hear me preach. He said, I didn't come to hear you preach. I came because the Lord gave me a word for you. Well, he wasn't some fruitcake. He had never given me a word in 3 years that I knew him. And so I paid attention. I lifted my hands. He said, this is what the Lord told me. And I found out 2 years later. He told me he had no plans to go to the meeting that night. He was picking his wife up from an appointment. And he said, I felt quickened of the Holy Ghost to go to your meeting. And then he said, when I got to the meeting, the Lord told me where to stand. And that's where you pulled up. And he said, I still didn't know what I was going to do. And when you got out of the car, that's when the word came. So the gifts of the Spirit are like headlights on a car. The more you drive, the further you see. Amen. And so he said, thus saith the Lord, you've done a good job reaching people that no one cares about. And the Lord says, because you've gone after people that no one wants, I'm going to quickly send another mayor to you who's going to run and beg you to come to his city. Well, I heard that. That's tough to believe with your mind. I've never seen a mayor run. The FBI had a subpoena for their office and was coming in the front door. You see him run out the back door. But I've never seen a mayor run after a preacher to beg him to come to his city. And so, you know, but I have enough sense not to say, I don't know how that could happen. I said, well, praise the Lord. And then I pondered it and wondered how it could happen. Went to the stage and preached. Had about 500 or 700 people come to receive Jesus Christ that night. And when I came off the stage, you know, like I jumped in a pool, 93 degrees outside, and I preached hard. I lost like 14 pounds that week. I love doing outdoor crusades. You can eat whatever you want. I was thinking about doing an infomercial. Preach yourself skinny. I'll just be on at 2 in the morning showing you the motions. So I come off the stage, come around back, get some water, and this guy in a black T-shirt and black pants, looked at me in his late 50s, comes and runs and throws his arms around me and points at the people and goes, this is awesome. This is awesome. I said, I know it is. Praise the Lord. I was wondering where security was. You know, this is basically the whole reason we're paying you is so people don't do this to me. And then he said, you have to do this in my city, which we had lots of people say, you need to do this in my city. But they, you know, if you don't have the ability to pull the trigger and open the door, then there's no use, you know, you're no help. So I got ready to tell him, find out who's in charge of your city and have them call my office. And before I could say anything, he said, I'm the mayor of Vineland, New Jersey. I'll give you any permits you want. I'll give you any venue you want. Just promise me that you'll come to my city. And then when he said, promise me, he squeezed me tighter. So it was like a physical threat. Because at my size, ribs are going to start snapping soon. I said, oh, come. And so that was the next place we went. Vineland, New Jersey, 4,100 opening night. 908 people answered the altar call on night one in a town of 60,000 people. Can you say amen? Well, that was Mayor Ruben Bermudez. He got all the videos, and after that meeting was over, he went to the National Mayoral Leadership Conference and showed all the mayors the video of what happened in his city. They'd say, how are things going in your city, Mayor? I'll tell you how it's going. We had this young man come and hold an event, and he said, we've been having drug addicts come up to us every day on our way into the city office saying, when's that skinny guy coming back again? Ever since he was screaming at us, I've never done any heroin. Can you say amen? And so he'd show them the video and the testimonies, and the mayors would say, well, how much does he charge? He'd say, he doesn't charge any money. Any money? What's in it for him? I don't know. He just does it because he loves people. And so then our phone started ringing off the hook. But I said that to say, you know, how many of you were here this morning? I just came from Newark, New Jersey. And you can look at the video on my YouTube page. I get it all filmed because people think you're making stuff up. If you watch that video, it looks like a crusade you would have in Africa in the 1990s. There were 9,000 people opening night. This last Sunday night, 7 days ago today, 9,000 people. And then we had, the altar only could fit 800 people. It packed out. They had to tell people to quit coming forward to the altar because people were starting to get crushed. They estimate low end 1,200 people received Jesus Christ that night, and it probably was as high as 1,700 decisions for Christ in Newark, New Jersey, in the northeast of the United States. Hallelujah. And then we went all week. We went all week, had just under 3,000 saved. We were simulcast on two nationwide channels, CTN and Faith Broadcasting Network, in 50 million homes. I'm going to tell you, God's not, the devil is not going to have the last say in the United States of America. God still has a church that's here, that's anointed with fresh oil to drive the devil out and see this last generation saved by the power of God. And you want to know why you're here tonight? Because God's plan isn't for you to watch it happen. God's plan is to anoint you with the Holy Ghost and fire and make it happen in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good. I got a response the first time like I was at First Methodist. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so anyway, the video I'm going to show you, I showed you Newark in the morning. I felt to show you this one tonight. Is the only place, this last week was the 12th open air crusade we've done in the last 3 years. I spent something like $2 or $3 million doing this stuff. And it's just been amazing how the Lord, God is amazing. And so anyway, the only one that I did that was not by invitation of a mayor was Clarksburg, West Virginia. Because I was reading the news, and I saw that Clarksburg, West Virginia had the highest heroin usage rate in the nation per capita. President Obama came there and did a speech because there were so many people. You know, you have 27 overdose deaths in a town of 16,000 in one weekend. And I read that and got ready to scroll up and read the next news story. And before I could scroll up, I felt the Lord speak to me. Go down there and put a stop to that. And so I called one pastor that I knew in Clarksburg, and I just told him. I said, I don't want you to feel like I'm imposing on you. I've never done this. But I felt the Lord speak to me to come down and do one of these crusades in Clarksburg and attack that spirit of addiction that's using heroin to kill people. And he said, I was actually just going to call you this week and see if you'd consider coming. So we came. We had 2,207 decisions for Christ in a town of 16,000. I stayed 2 weeks. We had 5 heroin dealers get saved. And then what would happen is, when their clients would come to buy drugs, they would say, no, I'm not going to sell you drugs. Come with me tonight at 7 o'clock, and there's this skinny white guy. He's going to scream at you. But it's a really weird kind of screaming. The longer he screams, the better you feel. You know, they don't even know what preaching was. And so then I came, this is the only place I came back a second week. Brother Schimbach said, when you do a crusade, you don't harvest the land twice in a row. Give it a year to breathe. But this time I came back a second time just to finish it off. And I felt to do something I'd never done before. My Uncle Ted that I mentioned right in the beginning, that's been preaching about 42 years. He operates the strongest of anyone I've ever been around in the word of knowledge, gifts of healing, and working of miracles. And he's, you know, the older you get, the stronger you get. He's the best now that I've ever seen him. And so I felt it would be good for these raw heathens that just got saved and off drugs to see a demonstration of the power of God. So I asked him, going into the second year crusade, I said, would you come? You know, he lives in West Virginia. I said, would you come and preach the middle of the week for me? And he said, I would be happy to, but it turns out I'm already booked in South Carolina. And so I was upset because, you know, first of all, who likes South Carolina? No, I'm kidding. I just said that because you're here. I'd never been to South Carolina. I was upset because I felt for sure that I had heard the voice of the Lord to have him preach, but he was already booked. So I thought, all right, I'll do the whole thing myself. Well, then that hurricane hit last year, and he called me and said, that church is canceling the meeting because their property's flooded. They're going to reschedule it, so it turns out I can come after all. If he'd have just said yes up front, all those people wouldn't have lost their homes. Amen. And so what I'm going to play for you are the two nights that he spoke where I told him, you know, it's hot out in the summer in West Virginia like it is here. He's in his 60s. So I said, what I'll do, because when you do a crusade, it's just wild people, you know, West Virginia, just like real hillbillies. And my family's from West Virginia. So people watch, that's not, listen, we know what West Virginia's like. It's people that, they're wild. And so when you come, you have to like, it's not like church, where you're all seated and know how to, it's wild. People are actually sizing you up, where if you don't carry the power of God, they're going to take turns taking shotgun blasts at you. You get that feel. And so I said, what I'll do is, the first miracle is I'll only preach 15 minutes. And I'll just give a straight salvation altar call. And then we'll get them saved. We'll have the band play while we're getting all their numbers and information to plug them into church. Then get them seated back down. And then you just go to work and flow however you feel to flow. And what resulted were two of the mightiest nights I've ever seen. Because you'll be able to tell anyway. But these were not church people. These were not people that when you give them a word, say, hallelujah. Bro. No, they don't know. They didn't know anything about God. Probably about 80% of the crowd was totally unchurched, unsaved. And so they're going to play night 3 and night 4 for you on the highlight reel and watch what Jesus did in Clarksburg, West Virginia. Go ahead and play that first night.
On Tuesday night at Festival of Life in Clarksburg, people were saved, delivered from addictions, and healed from diseases. Check it out.
I pray you would show this new generation that you are still the Almighty God who made the heavens and the earth. And that there's no Red Sea you can't part. There's no mountain you can't move. There's no sickness you can't heal. There's no family that you can't restore. Let tonight be a night of great demonstration of your power.
I mean, I always believe in God and stuff. You know, I never felt nothing like that before, but...
Bill Campbell and his wife Jennifer gave their hearts to Jesus at Festival of Life in Clarksburg. And with their salvation, they also received healing.
The Lord showed me it was a small bleed here in the brain. Did you go to a doctor to find out what it was? What did he tell you? He said it was caused by a tumor. Did they tell you they'd take it out? Do you have an operation?
Yes.
They take the tumor out. But the other day, the symptoms came back on you.
How would he know? How would he know that he was sick? You know, he wouldn't. You know, he wouldn't know what he was struggling with.
The doctor couldn't do it. So we called in another doctor. His name's Jesus. Somebody shout, Dr. Jesus. There it is. Lift your hands. He's going to be healed. Jesus of Nazareth. Let the power of God go through Bill. Just let him sit there. He can't stand under that anointing. Now look at me. You'll see your eye came open. Has it?
Yes, sir.
Clear? Blurriness gone?
It's just like I felt like a new person. It just, you know, I just felt like everything went away at that point. It felt great.
Bill's wife Jennifer was next.
The other night you coughed and coughed for over a half hour. He had to get you some water. Now, it doesn't make any difference what the pain is in your chest you're causing. If you get healed tonight, you're healed.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I've been having chest pains. And I thought it was stress, you know, work, stress, you know, whatever, whatever. And it was hard for me sometimes to breathe. And for him to say that to me, how could you even know?
I curse the taste of nicotine in the name of Jesus Christ.
It was awesome. Awesome.
Jennifer wasn't the only one delivered from nicotine. As a sign of their faith, people brought all of their cigarettes.
When he cursed the taste of nicotine, everybody just walked up and put their cigarettes on the thing.
Just wave at me. You have like a white striped top on.
I tell you, I didn't know what to believe until he told me what was wrong with me. And I know I never talked to him or nobody about it.
You have three conditions in your body, I feel the Lord showed me this afternoon when I was praying. One of the problems is in your legs, and you're starting to lose feeling in your legs and feet.
Deborah Johnson could barely make it down the steps to the altar.
I mean, I could barely walk. It hurt so bad to stand up or even bend down with my knees. Thank the good Lord, He healed my body.
I was praying, I saw your face. And I said, who is this woman? I knew the Lord said, you'll meet her when you get to the meeting. And I did.
I believed you could be healed. But I had never been prayed over to be healed.
Jesus, heal this woman in her hips now. I command the numbness and circulation to be healed.
I just felt a lot of pressure left my body. And something just entered it. And I got my legs got strength in them. And I couldn't stop them. They just wanted to go.
Go out of her body in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God.
I haven't walked like this in a long time.
Take off and walk across there and test it out.
By Tuesday night, in just 3 services, 579 people received Jesus.
I got something better than a prize. I got Jesus and I got healed.
Didn't you say praise the Lord? So basically what happened then was because that happened, then all these sinners went back home. Of course, they got saved, but then they went back and told all their friends, listen, there's God's touching people there. And so the next night, not only did the crowd grow, but all these former heathens had their still heathen friends coming expecting miracles. And it was one of the greatest demonstrations of God's power that I've ever seen. Before they roll the video, stand right up. Power of God's all over you. I don't play the videos for fun. They give people faith. Put your hand on your heart and lungs in the name of Jesus. When you're watching that, God began to touch you too. Amen. Like I told you this morning, you'll never have COPD in Jesus' mighty name. Now, this morning, the Lord took away that infirmity, and now He restores all the damage to the lung tissue. You'll breathe easy. Put this hand on your lungs too. Filled! There it is. In Jesus' mighty name. That's all restored. There. And it's done. Praise the Lord. Enjoy night 4. Go ahead and play the video.
On Wednesday night, the entire audience was promised personal prayer. And as a result, the miracles were so mighty that there were too many to count. But there were at least a dozen deaf ears open. Check it out.
My right ear, you hear pop.
It popped.
I felt a pop.
Miracles were popping up all over the Clarksburg Amphitheater.
You foul deaf spirit, in the mighty name of Jesus, the head of the church, come.
Oh! That ear opened for the glory of God.
What happened?
Tonight was the most wonderful night I've ever
she
had.
She was so deaf God they wouldn't even give her a cochlear ear implant. Birth defect.
Right.
Open for the glory of God. Clear. Clear.
I have been diagnosed with hearing loss since I was 5 years old. I am now 30 years old.
What happened?
You're smiling.
I can hear.
Your ears just came open. You believe Jesus did it?
Yes. He did it then. He did it tonight. He'll do it with you. He did it for me, for the good for all of you. I've got it. Jesus did it. I'm not deaf now. In the power of God.
She's repeating what he's saying.
He has opened my ears.
Lacey Workman's ears were opened after 25 years. And next was Renita Mitchell, who had been deaf for over 30 years.
You were in a car accident when you were 8.
Yes. I was in a car accident when I was 8 years old, and I hit my head off of the road, and from what I was told, ruptured my eardrum.
You foul deaf spirit that came to her when she was 8. Through an accident, you cannot stay. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I command you, come.
Oh, in Jesus. Amen. You hear me a little better, don't you?
What happened?
It popped. And I can hear for the first time in 31 years.
It popped.
Your ear popped open?
There's been many a times when I doubted and I didn't believe, even though I believe in God, even though I go to church, even though I read my Bible, there's been many times that I doubted and just didn't think that God heard my prayers. But I'm here to tell you that He does.
Pastor Tim Nichols had two prayers answered.
I'm a pastor of a church, and I can't hear the people when I'm praying, when they're asking me for prayer, and I couldn't hear them and understand them, and I need my hearing so I can help the people.
In one of your eyes, the enemy tried to bring a problem in one of the eyes. Isn't that right?
Yes.
True?
Yes.
You're going to get two miracles tonight.
He had that all down right. And my eye, when he talked about it, I had a piece of metal cut clear across my eye. And it was caused me a lot of problems.
There it is, for the glory of God. What happened?
Oh, that ear's coming clean.
It came open and it's clear. Someone say it's coming clear.
This is real. This is God. This is the God that loves us. He cares very much about us, and he wants to heal us.
Oh, he loves me. he does.
Dorothy Fox felt the love of God when she received her healing.
I just believed that the Lord was going to touch me tonight.
Two things. Number one, the Lord's going to make your blood right. The beginning of diabetes, is that right?
That's right.
I heard the Lord say to me, is going away.
Praise God.
In one of your legs, you've already started losing feeling, and it gets shaky in that leg.
That's been it's been a struggle, and it's affected my legs, and the neuropathy was beginning to happen also, and I've been battling arthritis as well.
One more thing, right here in the back of your neck and into your shoulder, the beginning of arthritis and some restriction and pain. True?
Yes.
Move your head any way you want. You'll see there's no pain.
No pain. And no pain for Earl Kelly either, after living in daily
pain from an
accident 22 years ago.
He has no kneecap.
No kneecap. I saw it myself.
How many feet?
39 feet. The doctor put a bunch of pins.
No kneecap and no personality.
He has no kneecap. You just feel all this metal.
Well, I just never knew when my leg was going to kick out from under me, and I'd go down sometimes and hurt myself.
Oh, my goodness, sir. How many see a kneecap here? Can you see it? Pastor, if you put your hand there, you're going to feel a kneecap now.
Yeah, absolutely.
You feel that?
Felt like the leg was coming more alive.
You feel that? You do, don't you?
Yes, sir. I felt a pop when it bent. It hurt, but it felt good.
This would be what we would call a creative miracle.
He believed in God's wonderful healing power. We both did.
Start walking across there on your new kneecap.
I felt wonderful.
Come to Jesus tonight, and he'll not only save you, he'll take what the devil meant to destroy your life and turn it around in one night.
683 people have received Jesus so far this week, and we are just past the halfway point. Even more have had their lives forever changed. For Festival of Life, I'm Stephanie Esposito.
Can you say praise the Lord? You don't have to turn here with me, because I won't make up any words. I'm just going to read two scriptures to you. Then I'll tell you what the Lord had me share with you tonight, and then I'll pray for you and minister to you. The Bible says in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Everybody say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." "Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, and that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." Acts chapter 1, verse 5. The disciples kept asking Jesus, "Okay, we've really enjoyed your preaching. Now, when are you going to kick the Romans out of here and make Israel a sovereign nation again?" Jesus said, "It's not, those dates aren't for you to know. But just do what I told you. Don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift that he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water. But in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost." Verse 8, "And you will receive power." And you will receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost comes upon you. "And you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, through Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." Maybe I'll read one more. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. But the believers who were scattered preached the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever they went. Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear his message and see the miracles that he did. For many evil spirits were cast out, screaming as they left their victims. And many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in the city. Hallelujah. I believe that's how we'll leave Ahoskie on Wednesday night, with people rejoicing, families back together, kids out of prison, kids out of rehab. That's what the anointing's supposed to do. The anointing isn't for you just to shake and jerk. And, you know, you go to some Pentecostal churches, they think the point of the Holy Ghost was to get women to dance through their pantyhose until their bobby pins come out of their hair. I'm all for dancing. I'm all for shouting. But the anointing, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me for a reason. To preach the gospel to the poor. And then to tell those that are captive that you don't have to stay captive. That your captivity ends today. That there's actually an anointing to speak that to people. Can you say amen? Amen. Let me read a couple more. Turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans the 15th chapter. This is what the Apostle Paul said. Verse 16, Romans 15, 16. Now, if the Bible, basically I'm going to say this for anybody here that's like 39 and younger. Because they teach in Bible school now, basically like this doesn't work. Well, you have to remember that was a different time. When in reality, the Bible is a blueprint that if you follow it, it works not only in every generation, it works in every nation. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Can you say a better amen? And so one of the teachings that caused people to lay aside the power of the Holy Ghost was that they said, you know, well, God did this as a special work in the first century to establish the church. And he did. But when you think about it, the church has to be reestablished in every generation. For example, there was a time in the 1950s in America where there were great men, A.A. Allen, Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, Jack Coe, that were going and putting their tents up in hard places and preaching the power of God. And because of that, most of you, whether you live for the Lord or not, you have a grandmother or a grandfather that got affected by that. It put a fear of God in the nation. Billy Graham had a meeting in New York. They said, you North Carolina country boy, this stuff's not going to work in New York. Go stick that to down south. But he went to New York anyway and rented Madison Square Garden for 9 weeks. 9 weeks doing meetings every night with Madison Square Garden full. The man that ordained me into the ministry, Dr. Rodney Howard Brown, he rented Madison Square Garden. And when he rented it, they said, how long do you want to rent it for? One night, 3 nights? He said, I want to rent it for 6 weeks. The man said, this building's never been rented for that long before. He said, no, Billy Graham rented it for 9 weeks. He said, oh, I didn't know that. If you know Dr. Rodney, he said, there's a lot of things you don't know. Can you say amen? There's a lot of things this new generation doesn't know about what God did in this country. But God's not only going to redo it, he's going to do it even better. The latter rain is going to be poured out on this nation, and a new generation will know that there is a God in heaven, and his name is Jesus Christ. You can write that down. Somebody shout hallelujah. So I read that, how Billy Graham did 9 weeks, and then on the last night of the ninth week, there were so many people that wanted to come to the meeting, they wouldn't fit in Madison Square Garden. So they rented Yankee Stadium. And when you do a stadium meeting, you don't have to keep the baseball field open. You can put chairs there too. So even though Yankee Stadium doesn't seat that many, they had 92,000 people in Yankee Stadium on the closing night and sent 18,000 people home that wouldn't fit in the stadium. That wasn't in the 1800s. That was in the 1950s. And there's people alive today that were alive during that meeting. I mean, whether you like President Trump or not, do you want to know why he likes preachers? Because he said at Billy Graham's funeral, my dad would watch Billy Graham on TV and said, come on, son, let's go see him. So what did it produce? Whether you like Trump or not, he likes preachers. And he not only likes preachers, he likes my kind of preachers, the spitting, shouting, crazy kind. Because he heard as a boy that message and felt the change that it brought to his life. Brother Shambach would set up his tents in the bad parts of a city. They went to the Bronx. My cousin Teddy was with them. When they cleared the lot in the Bronx where they were going to set up their tent, They removed a pickup truck flatbed full of used syringes and found three dead bodies. That's not charging $50 a person, $75 a couple for early registration, VIP passes for $100 to go meet the preacher in the back. That crap has crippled America and Christianity in America. But I'm telling you, God's going to do another move where people preach the raw power of Jesus Christ and see prisoners set free from everything the devil's bound them in. If you know God's going to do that, and you know he's going to do that this week, take those anointed hands, put them together, clap your hands and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Somebody say the Lord is good.
The Lord is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
His mercy endures forever.
Hallelujah. Man, I feel this. In fact, when I was playing my Uncle Ted's video, this is what got me on the subject. Let me finish reading Romans. Because Paul gives his blueprint for how he was able to convert the Gentile world to Christ. Romans 15, 16. I am a special messenger from Christ Jesus to you Gentiles. I brought you the gospel so that I might present you as an acceptable offering to God, made holy by the Holy Spirit. So I have reason to be enthusiastic about all Christ Jesus has done through me and my service to God. Romans 15, 18. Yet I dare not boast about anything except what Christ has done through me, bringing the Gentiles to God. He tells you how he brought them to God. Bringing the Gentiles to God by my message. Everybody say, by my message. But that's not the end. By my message and by the way I worked among them. They were convinced by the power of miraculous signs and wonders and by the power of God's Spirit. In this way I have fully preached the gospel of Jesus Christ from Jerusalem to Illyricum. And so Paul actually taught that you've not fully preached the gospel until you've allowed a demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost to come behind the Word of God and show the hearer that this isn't some philosophy that we invented. This is God's Word to all people that carries power to break every yoke of bondage, destroy every affliction, and to set the captive free. Now I'm 37. And so I grew up in the generation where even if you went to Full Gospel Bible College, they basically taught you, you know, people are going to think you're weird if you do that, you know, lay that aside. And so even the Full Gospel denominations have laid down the power of God, and you know that. I remember I was at my Uncle Ted's meeting, his camp meeting in 2005, and he said the Lord spoke to him, and I paid close attention to what he said. He said that the Lord is allowing, like a carrot being put before a donkey, this new hip way of preaching where you sit on a stool in your skinny jeans with your soy latte and carry a merce and just do a nice little 25-minute message, no altar call, no power. And God's going to float this and see, like Gideon's army, who wants to go in that direction. But he said, when the ones that choose that way, they won't minister for me. He said, but there'll be a remnant that actually go the other way and start to press in for the things of God and the move of the Spirit. And there will be a last day move of God where when that hits, those will be my servants whom I use. When I heard that, when he prophesied that, I was 25 years old. But I remembered, okay, if I have a choice between doing things the cool way, but I have to do it without God, you can count me out. And so whatever way America's telling you you should preach, you know, basically I'll watch CNN. When they do a religion report and they have three backslidden preachers on telling how the church should be now, I just take notes and do everything the opposite. To know the will of God, listen, there's two ways to know the will of God. One is to hear it from God, and then the other way is anything the devil tells you to do, just do it the opposite. Can you say amen? Can you say better amen? And so I decided that I'm going to press in to the power of God. Fast more, pray more, and do if it takes the power of God to bring a generation out of sin and out of bondage and into the hand of God, that's not up to God to give you the power. That's up to you to lay hold of the power of God. Can you say amen? I'm going to tell you, I'm not only preaching on this tonight. Obviously, there's something in your spirit that attracted you. Most everybody here was already in church Sunday morning. And somebody was asking you when you were leaving tonight, where are you going? Church, I thought you went this morning. Yeah, I'm going again. Is it Christmas? Is it Easter? No. There's something in you that when you heard there's revival meetings, you said, I want to be a part of that. There was something in your spirit that drew you here. God didn't draw you here just to listen to a message. God is looking for young women, old women, young men, and old men to baptize with the Holy Ghost and power and use them, listen, and use them to make the devil sorry he didn't kill you when he had the chance. I'm looking at the people that God's going to use to shake North Carolina, shake the Eastern Seaboard. America shall be saved. If that sounds like you, let your amen be the loudest. If that sounds like you, let your amen be the loudest. Hallelujah. God's going to touch you tonight. Everybody say, we need the Holy Ghost. And so, people are bound. The battles of life are spiritual, would be the best way to say it. If the church lays down the things of the Spirit, then the devil can keep people bound. And the church basically turns into a referral service. Your child's depressed. Oh, go see Dr. So-and-so. My child's actually on a medication for that as well, and it really helps. I've noticed that they've calmed down a lot when they take that pill. Let me tell you something. Jesus didn't bleed out all his blood so the pharmaceutical companies can make money off you and your children. Jesus came to give you life by himself and to give it to you more abundantly. Without the power of God, the church turns into a referral service. 12-step program. Go see doc. You know, Jesus traveled with a doctor. His name was Luke. Luke wasn't one of the 12 disciples, but he was one of the 72. Did you know Jesus never referred one person to Luke? Jesus didn't pray for people that had sinus infections. And then when a leper came beseeching Jesus, Jesus said, oh, this is Dr. Luke. He's going to give you some lotion to rub on your skin. It's prescription grade, but we're going to just give it to you for free and bless you. I want you to come back every week, and we'll give you more when you run out. Keep that rubbing that on your skin. No, he cleansed the leper. In fact, when the disciples of John the Baptist came back to find Jesus, and John the Baptist didn't know whether he was the Messiah or not, they said, are you the Messiah, or should we look for another? That's a yes or no question, but Jesus didn't answer it yes or no. He said, go back and tell your master, John the Baptist, the things that you see today. The blind see, the deaf hear, the cripple walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the poor are having the gospel preached to them. Jesus pointed to his ministry of signs and wonders as proof that God was with him. Acts 10:38. And no doubt you know how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing, I don't know why God allowed that. God's not doing bad. God's doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So you don't hear any talk about that. You hear people teach on TV. Well, even when we don't understand what God's doing, how many of you are going through a hard time in your marriage? We may not know what. God's not the author of divorce. God's not the author of strife. God's not the author of addiction. T.L. Osborne called it the gospel in one verse. John 10:10. The thief comes to steal. The thief comes to kill. And then you'd think kill would be over, but it's not. After he kills, he'll use that death to destroy everything that's possible. That's why you'll see something like this. A senior pastor dies, and then his wife goes on mind medication because she lost her husband. The kids quit going to church because their mother's out of her mind. And so the whole family ends up destroyed by that one attack. He's not done when he kills. He'll destroy everything he can. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I didn't come to North Carolina to talk about what the devil has planned. I came to tell you about Jesus, who said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Lift your hands all over this room. I tell you, this is a certain, especially just coming out of Newark and seeing crackheads healed and heroin addicts healed and the cripple healed. There is nothing the devil has done to you that God won't do something about it tonight in Jesus' name. And there's nothing the devil's done to your children that God won't turn it around before midnight tonight. There is a real devil
but there is real power in the Holy Ghost that destroys all the work of the devil. If you receive that tonight, let God hear a noise come out of a husky. Clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Somebody shout hallelujah. Now you say it out of your own spirit. Say, there's nothing the devil's done to me that God won't do something about it tonight. Yeah, I didn't get into the ministry to refer people to other people. Oh, you're having problems. Well, that, you know, let's be realistic. I mean, we'll pray, but at the same time, we need to use wisdom too. Well, if that's true, then Jesus didn't know what he was doing. Jesus dealt things at their spiritual root. Mark chapter 9. There was a man who brought his boy to Jesus' disciples. And the disciples could not heal him. And Jesus came and said, what's all this arguing about? Mark chapter 9, the father replied, right around verse 14 through verse 29. The father replied, I brought my son for your disciples to heal him, but they could not do it. And the disciples come to Jesus after and ask him, why couldn't we do it? Notice that Jesus didn't say, well, you have to remember, I'm the son of God and you're just disciples and there's certain things you won't know. He said, this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting, and you didn't have enough faith. And so it's the disciples' job to make sure that they're tanked up on the power of God. It's not up to God to fill you with his power. It's up, blessed are they that hunger and thirst, for they will be filled. That's why you can have an expectation that God's going to fill you tonight, because what brought you out on a Sunday night? It's not Easter. It's not Palm Sunday when every Tom, Dick, and Harry comes to church. It's just a regular old summer Sunday night. And here you have more people in here than were here this morning, because people are fed up with looking to the government for help. The Democrats don't have the answer. The Republicans don't have the answer. But the power of God is more than enough to solve every issue that you're going through today. Somebody shout hallelujah. I brought my son to your disciples, but they could not do it. What's the problem, Jesus said? The father said, ever since he was a little boy, there's a demon that torments him. He suffers from seizures, and he's deaf and mute. What did Jesus say to the man? Okay, well, I know it's only the first century, and you still think everything's caused by demons, but actually it's an imbalance in the head, and it's... No, Jesus... In fact, if you study it, one out of every three people that Jesus liberated, there was a demon spirit that had to be dealt with. And those demons never died. What do you think's behind a heroin problem? What do you think? The same way that I'm possessed by the Holy Spirit and it gives me a passion to preach God's word. There's people possessed with unclean spirits that have a passion to bring in heroin and methamphetamine and fentanyl and run it through every town in North Carolina to make money off the deaths of children. The battles of life are not physical. The battles of life are spiritual. And you remember this skinny boy told you this because it'll help you a lot in life. In this last hour of time, there will be no lukewarm. People that stand in the middle are going to get run over. Jesus said, I would that you be hot, or I would that you be cold, or you're going to get vomited out. And so if you go to church and carry a little power, low wattage, you might as well not go at all. You're going to get run over. Your family's going to have problem after problem. But if you'll make a decision tonight, I don't want to just know a preacher who knows about God. I want the power of God's Spirit alive on the inside of me. Then everywhere you set your foot, you'll be on land that God has given to you, and no man will stand against you as long as you live. If you believe it, can you say amen?
Amen?
Now, why don't you let him know you're interested? Say, I want the Holy Ghost.
I want the Holy Ghost.
Praise God. It'd be a mistake to live life nowadays without the anointing. If you think you saw my Uncle Ted calling people out by the gifts of the Spirit, you think he only does that in service? Me and my cousin would have to be careful what we said in private, because our dads would know what we said. I came home from school one time in fifth grade. My dad got a far-off look in his eye at the dining room table and said, did you say this, this, and this to your teacher today? I never even got in trouble. She never called home. I think I peed my leg a little. And I said, yes, I did say that. He said, well, don't say it anymore. You say, what's the point of that? You act differently when you realize, when your father's anointed, you realize this isn't a religious game. There's a God that sees everything that goes on.
The principal of that Christian school, Don O'Hara, one time he called a bunch of us into the office. We got in trouble for fighting or something. And he said, I'm calling all your homes and letting you know what happened. Then he sent all the other boys out of the room and kept me there. He knew who my dad was. He said, Jonathan, I'm going to call all these other boys' homes because they're going to get the timeout chair. He said, but you're not going to get the timeout chair. You're going to get spanked. He said, so I'm going to give you one more chance, and you don't have to tell your dad what happened. I said, thank you, Principal O'Hara, but he already knows. You don't have to call home. My dad prays. My dad hears from God what's going on in my house. I'm going to tell you, that mentality has to get broken in the church, that you get anointed to preach. You know how many places I go to preach? Father, anoint our brother to preach tonight. If you book somebody to preach that has to wait till 2 minutes before service starts to get anointed, you booked the wrong preacher. The psalmist said, I will be anointed with fresh oil. Did you know you can wake up every day, lift holy hands unto God without wrath or doubting, and say, I choose to have fresh oil from heaven to walk in victory, to destroy the works of the devil in my generation, and God will get behind you. Somebody shout hallelujah. You need to be anointed as a father. You need to be anointed as a mother. You shouldn't have to call an 800 number at the bottom of the screen when sickness tries to attack your child. You should have your own oil in the cupboard and say, you foul spirit of infirmity, whose house do you think you walked into? In the name of Jesus Christ, turn loose of my daughter and get out in Jesus' name. That's where you're going after tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. If you receive it, clap those hands one more time and give God a mighty shout of praise. Come on, give God a good hand clap. Is that how they taught you to clap in church in North Carolina? Like Jesus just hit a 9-foot putt on the 11th green? This is revival. You got to shake every dead religious thing out of you and get on fire for God and be part of this new wave of Holy Ghost Christian that's going to bust the devil right in his mouth. Somebody shout hallelujah. Praise God. I said, praise God. I said, praise the Lord. So what's the purpose of the anointing? Paul said, in this way did I fully preach the gospel. They were convinced by my message and by the way I worked among them. They were convinced by the signs and wonders that were done through me. The anointing will do in 5 minutes what counselors and medication can't do in 30 years. Now, let me just tell you this, because you'll never get delivered from something you're not disgusted with. So if you think something's normal, well, you know, I'm 52 now. So, you know, your eyes aren't what they used to. Okay, keep talking. You'll be dead by Thursday. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that indulge therein shall enjoy the fruit thereof, either life or death. We don't talk like that in our family. We say that the Lord that was good to us when we were 7 years old, that was good to us when we were 23, is still good at 37, and he's not going to lay me on the shelf when I turn 50. God always leads forward, and God's going to lead you forward in Jesus' name. Lift your hands all over this place. I prophesy to every minister in the sound of my voice, these next 5 months will be the most explosive months your ministry has ever known. God's going to clear out every hindrance and start to magnetize people into your house. Souls will get saved. The sick will be healed. And a new excitement will come to your spirit to do the ministry. So rejoice and be glad, because God's not finished with you. The best is yet to come. Well, it feels good in here. Feels good in here. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. This guy in the nice pink shirt, just step right out. Step right out in the aisle. Lift both hands. As you do, the power of God comes upon you. Strength for your body, fresh anointing for your ministry. In Jesus' name. Just lift your hands and receive what God has for you right now. If you're watching on Facebook, receive it on Facebook. In Jesus' mighty name. I said, in Jesus' mighty name. I went to go preach in Amsterdam, and my wife joined me a day later. So when she landed at the airport, I took a taxi to go pick her up. And the Dutch taxi driver, when we got my wife and got in the car, he said, I assume you'll want to go to the pharmacy. And I said, no, we just want to go back to the hotel. He said, well, you're the first Americans I've ever picked up that didn't want to go straight to the pharmacy to get your prescriptions filled. See, what we think's normal here, they think stupid other places. They make you feel like you're nuts if you don't agree with gay marriage, but about 70% of the countries on earth haven't legalized gay marriage. They think we've lost our minds over here. But people watch too much CNN, MTV. They let their mind get shaped by what the television says that's controlled by devils rather than letting their mind be renewed by the washing of the water of the word. Let me tell you, you're not going to reach people. Just hold up on the music a second. You're not going to reach people if you're like them. You can't deliver people from the same prison that you're in. You have to realize tonight, I'm not like everybody else. I'm not going to live like everybody else. The Bible says I'm a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. You can't dabble with American culture and be used of God. You have to make up your mind, I'm going to live by heaven's standard. If that sounds like you, shout amen like thunder. So people think it's normal to be on Medicaid. I'll tell you a funny story, actually. I was preaching at an Assemblies of God church. I didn't mean to say the denomination, but it's too late. And this guy was a presbyter. You know, full gospel denomination. This guy was a presbyter. He had never had me in to preach, and he felt to have me in to preach for some reason. So he says, can I meet with you before the meeting starts? And I knew why I wanted to meet. It's like your pastor. He never met with me beforehand, never called me when I was 20 minutes late. You know why? He's not uptight. He's a Holy Ghost man. Can we talk? I mean, I'll just be an hour early. I just have some things I want to run by you. So people are nervous. What basically ends up happening is people make a decision in the anointing, and then they get in their head and start thinking everything through, and they get nervous. So I met with him. He goes, well, listen, I know you preach on healing, but do me a favor. Just because we've had some problems with this in the past with other evangelists, don't tell the people to go off their medication. I've never told anybody to go off their medication. There's some people I'd tell them to go on more medication. Don't laugh too loud or they know it's one of your family members. Amen. I said, I've never told anybody to go off their medication. Never. He said, okay, I just wanted to settle that. So anyway, I preached that morning on Bible prophecy. Gave a salvation altar call. Never mentioned anything about deliverance. Never mentioned anything about the Holy Ghost. Not just because I was preaching what I felt to preach. He comes to the altar, starts praying. And I feel the Lord speak to me. And all I said was, lift your hands. God's going to touch you with his power right now. And everything the devil did to try to slow you down in the ministry, God's going to accelerate it. So I lay hands on him. He goes out under the power, which he didn't even believe in going out under the power. So he had to reexamine his doctrine after he got up off the ground. And so he gets up that night. He says, can I say something at the end of my meeting? I said, sure, it's your church. I give him the mic. He tells the crowd this. Some of my deacons know this, but I want everybody to know it. I was bound by medication. He said, I had to take a pill to get out of bed in the morning. He said, I had to take a pill by 2 p.m. for anxiety and panic attack to get through the day. And he said, one day, it was so severe, one day I forgot my medication and didn't take it, and I had to leave the office at 2 p.m. and go back home. Well, Jesus said, you're anointed to tell the prisoner that you're set free. That's not just an actual prison, though it'll work there too. There's people that are in a prison where they have to have stuff with them. They can't function. That's a prison. I said, that's a prison. I know I'm in America because it's down to like four amens and one grunt. Me like my medication. And so he said, I had to take one in the afternoon, and then he said, I had to take more. I had to take more at night to go to sleep. Listen to what he said. He said, when the power of God hit me this morning, when I got up, I went to lunch, I went to service tonight, and I realized about an hour ago that I haven't taken any medication all day. And he said, I feel the best that I've ever felt. Then he goes to this. I know many of you are on medication in this crowd. I want to encourage you to believe God
and go off that mess. I thought we're not telling people that this week. And so I didn't have to tell anybody. When he got hit, you saw those people on the West Virginia video. They had been saved about 40 minutes, and they preached better than most preachers. They were saying, he opened my ears. What he did for me, he'll do it for you. We had a Muslim lady in Philadelphia. I watched this with my own eyes. She was standing there watching as I preached. Two of them. One had been a Muslim for 13 years. One had been a Muslim for 30 years. At the same point in the service, they grabbed the underside of their burqa and pulled it off. Right in the middle of the meeting. And then before I gave the altar call, before they could open the gate, she hopped the fence and came to the altar. She told me after I was telling the Lord, God, if you really sent this man, have him stop preaching. Because if he's coming like you say he's coming, I'm not ready to meet him. She jumped the fence. She was the fifth one up there. When they interviewed her, she said, I was a crackhead that was in Islam, and Jesus set me free. She said, I'm going to travel and preach and tell everybody that God can do anything. Listen, you go to some dead Bible college for 6 years and come out not even believe the Bible. But if you have an encounter with God tonight, you can't mess up your own testimony. God is going to give you a testimony, not knowing what he did for others, you'll be able to tell people what he did for me, he'll do for you in Jesus' name. If you believe it, can you shout amen? Everybody say it's the anointing. Everybody say it's the anointing that breaks the yoke and lifts the heavy burden. I want you to lift your hands right now and just thank God that that anointing is coming on you right now. Jesus didn't shed his blood so you could be a slave to CVS and Walgreens. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I'm just going to tell you two things before I pray for you. Everybody say the anointing makes the difference. See, that's why the devil wants the church to lay that aside. If the amount of churches being in a country could change a country, America would have been saved 150 years ago. We're in North Carolina, even in rural North Carolina. You have to drive by 11 churches to go to the one that you're going to. But the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:5, in the last days, stand up, brother, in the chocolate brown suit, stand up and step into the aisle. Quickly, step into the aisle on the side. Lift both hands right there. As you do, the fire of God that's on you right now gets even stronger. Filled right into your belly. Receive the fire of God. More. I tell you, the next time you stand to preach, you'll blow the back doors off the place. People will be asking you what got into you. Everything the devil used to sideline you, everybody that made the ministry annoying, God will clear them out and give you fun in the ministry. There it is. Fire be healed in your body. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Somebody say the anointing makes the difference. How many of you were here this morning? You saw me come late? I come late on purpose. Because then you don't know anybody and nobody has a chance to tell you, I brought my mother-in-law and she has cancer, so if you have a chance to pray for her, you can just go in clean and only know what the Spirit tells you. So I was at a church in Ohio, and I got to the service at about 7:25 and got up to preach. So, you know, I don't know anybody there. It's kind of like this. I hadn't been there before. 7:25. So I get up to preach and start preaching, and there's a lady that's in the fourth row. They had a center aisle in that church, which I actually don't prefer. I like the way you're set up. So this lady's in the fourth row, one, two, three, be like sitting like where you're at. And I felt the service was like going nowhere. They weren't like you folks. They were very dead. Not laid back, dead. Totally dead. You guys are great. So I see this lady sitting there. She's sitting next to what looks like her husband. And I feel the Lord speak to me, go and pray for that woman. And so I go. And that's all I felt in my spirit, just pray for her. So I said, ma'am, would you mind if I prayed for you? I said, stand up, like you heard me tell that guy. Stand up, step into the aisle, and I'll pray for you. She, well, normally, you've seen today, nobody had a problem with that. She went like this. So I'm thinking, okay, no problem. I'm not looking to get on Judge Judy. That I assaulted some lady. This woman that told the minister she didn't want prayer, but he pulled her up anyway and pushed her over. She's suing for $5,000.
I see we have some Judge Judy fans. You know why you like watching that show? It makes you feel better about yourself. Yeah, I might not be the best person, but I never stole my mother's couch. I'm ready for sainthood. So when she said that she didn't want prayer, I was happy to leave her alone. I was about to say, no problem, turn around and keep preaching. But I felt the Lord speak to me. No, do what I told you to do. Have her stand up and pray for her. Okay. So I just figured the best way to diffuse the tension is by humor. Right? No, I'm telling you, as a man of God. No, I just went, listen, don't worry. Nothing bad's going to happen. Just stand up. So I go to leave again, and a third time. No, have her stand up and pray for her. I said, so I figured again, I'll like try to just, because of the church, it wasn't like they were like, yes, stand up. Everyone was looking like, okay, leave her alone. So I said, look how skinny I am. I couldn't hurt you. Just stand up. She shook her head no again. And her husband's there. And you know me, you know, it's not like I'm going to beat up too many guys. And he didn't look like the most, he's looking at me. It's like, I want to leave. I didn't come to get beat up in Ohio. I just want to preach and go to Denny's or something like normal preachers do. And so this time it came so strong on me that I didn't even talk to her. I grabbed her by the arm, picked her up on her feet, and walked her to the aisle. And now I'm wondering whether she's going to pull her arm away from me and her husband storm out of it. When she walked in the aisle, she started crying. I said, lift your hands. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, be filled. Oh, no. No catchers came. And I could tell the Lord, she was like real frail, and I could tell she was going over. So I said to her husband, I said, sir, would you mind if I put you in the ministry real quick? He shook his head, no, seemed real. I said, just stand behind your wife. And I said, in the name of Jesus, as gently as I've ever laid hands on anybody, especially after her objecting and all that, and I'm on camera. I laid hands on her like the Pope. And Jesus. I said, in Jesus' name. And I just touched her forehead. And she broke out in tongues, fell back into her husband, and he immediately became the worst catcher in church history. When she hit him, he started speaking in tongues and like dominoes. You know, and you fall from this high up, straight back, it looked bad. But I'm in charge after. I'm like, no, they'll be fine eventually. Don't worry about it. I've seen this before. So they're falling, laying on each other, shaking under the power of God, speaking in tongues. And then, they're not even saying amen like you. They saw it live, and the whole crowd is like this. Something like, I thought this was a full gospel church. This is like the weird, I'm going to finish my message and get out of here. So they're laying there, shaking on the power. No one said amen. Nobody lifted their hands, nothing. Everybody's just like this. So I walk over, go back to get my Bible, and finish. And now I see this young lady that's over here in about the second row. And she's crying with her hands lifted. And she had on a nice dress. You know, like sometimes if it's a sinner, they wear a dress to church, but then it's like a club dress, you know. This lady had on like a high neck, like she was like 16, high neck dress, low skirt. So I figured she was like head of the youth group or whatever, and I see the power of God on her. So I said, young lady, would you come here? She shakes her head, yes. She comes right around with her hands lifted. And I get ready. I just felt to lay hands on her. But before I could say anything to her, I said, this just came out of my spirit. I said, now I can't tell you that you're called into the ministry. You're going to have to hear the Lord tell you that for yourself. She shook her head, yes. I said, but I do know this. You've always wanted to help people. And when you saw how God helped that lady, you thought, that's the best way to help people. And I said, if you'd like, the Lord will anoint you tonight and use you to help people just like that. She shook her head, yes. I laid hands on her. She fell out under the power, no catcher, bounced off the ground, speaking in tongues. The whole crowd still like this. I gave an altar call to get saved. She came to the altar. The lady and her husband came to the altar and a couple more. And it looked like a bad service. You know, everybody just staring. I thought, this isn't a fit. I'm going home. The pastor's wife comes up to me as soon as the service is over with her mouth open. She said, did you know who that young girl is that you prayed for? I said, I don't even know who you are. I've only been here for like an hour and 40 minutes. She said that girl is president of the atheist club at the public high school. Our youth group kept inviting her to come, and finally she agreed to come so she can see how evangelists trick people. But she made a mistake. Unlike me, she came 10 minutes early with a notepad and pen to take notes on how we manipulate people. However, that husband that was the worst catcher wheeled his wife in a wheelchair. The one I prayed for. Brought her to the aisle. Picked her up out of the wheelchair with this atheist girl watching. She's in the last stages of muscular dystrophy. Like when you picked her up out of the chair, she stayed just like she was in the chair. Like this. Picks her up out of the chair, sets her in the pew, and then unfortunately for me, doesn't leave the wheelchair there, takes it, brings it out, and puts it behind the coat rack. So then stupid me gets there. And I see a lady sitting there in a nice chair. Now, once she's seated, you can't tell she's crippled. And so I feel like, go pray for her. So she just looked like a lady. Excuse me, miss. Stand up and let me. She wasn't shaking her head, no, because she was in disagreement. She was trying to save me being embarrassed. Stand up and let me pray for her. No, don't worry about it. I'll be just stand up. Move along. Wrong lady. No, hey, look how skinny I am. She's like, what the heck does that have to do with it? I can't walk. And then without knowing what I was doing, I grabbed her. But that's why the Lord said, no, you stand her up and pray for her. I think I'm just being obedient. I grabbed her by the arm like Peter, lifted her up to her feet. And the reason her husband didn't object, and when I looked over, he was crying, is for the first time in 6.5 years. Listen to me. I talked to the husband after. In fact, I sat in her wheelchair and had them give me a ride out to my vehicle. I feel like if I do a good job, I should get some kind of reward out of it. Amen. And I like doing that. It was on an incline like this. I sat down at the altar, and she pushed me up the incline with one arm, waving her other arm, thanking God. But listen, I talked to her Ohio husband. He said for 6.5 years, I carried her out of bed to the toilet. I carried her into the bath. I got her dressed, and she was going to die. And she got one of your cards saying you're having a miracle service and figured out what could it hurt. And she came, but she came in faith. And she said, when you grabbed my wife's arm and picked her up and she walked out into the aisle, the reason none of the ushers came to catch, the reason everybody was like this was not because they were resistant to the Holy Ghost. They saw that woman get picked up out of the chair and put in, and now she's walking. I'm the one that's in the dark, not knowing what's going on. I lay hands on her. She's speaking in tongues, hits her husband. They get the baptism of the Holy Ghost before they hit the ground, unsaved. So how'd they get baptized in the Holy Ghost before they got saved? You can ask Jesus if you get to heaven. Amen. It wasn't my job, my decision. I was the one that didn't know what I was doing. So then I go to finish the service up, and that atheist girl in the church dress is crying because she just saw. The Holy Ghost knew she was there. You think this is fake? I'll show you how real it is. And that girl saw a legitimate sign and wonder in the United States of America. Then stupid me thinks she's a church girl because of how she's dressed. Stand up. Let me lay hands on you. Now, you've always wanted to help people. But and you know what you found out? She's in the program to be in Doctors Without Borders, to perform surgeries and do medical work for people that can't afford it. So she always had a compassion for the sick. And the Lord says, you've always wanted to help sick people. But when you saw how I helped that woman, you thought, that's the best way to help the sick. And if you'd like, the Lord says, I'll use you, because that's not for healing evangelists. That's not for apostles. That's half the problem. When you go down south or Texas in America, everybody has God do something through them. They have business cards printed by the next week and a red 6-button suit, and they've split their church. You know, I prophesied. I'm a prophet. Just because you have ice cream in your freezer doesn't make you the Dairy Queen. The signs and wonders of God are supposed to be the natural lifestyle of every believer. God's not looking to use 3 all-stars. God's looking to turn out 300 people tonight that know their God and know how to command his power. Young people, teenagers.
teenagers, middle-aged people, older people. God is going to use you to set captives free in the name of Jesus Christ. If you know you're one of them, clap those hands again and give God a mighty, mighty shout. Come on, make a joyful noise, all the earth. Announce the devil's defeat. Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Man, I know they tried to segregate this part of North Carolina for a long time. They did a terrible job. This church has more diversity than a McDonald's commercial. Hallelujah! And I'm going to tell you, just like the devil failed in that plan, the devil's going to fail in every plan that he's launched in the United States of America. This is the hour of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Black, Spanish, Asian, white, God is going to shake every community. Gloria a Dios. That means glory to God in Spanish. I married a Puerto Rican, and then 5 years ago, I made another Spanish person. Hallelujah. Jesus isn't a white man's God. Jesus isn't a black man's God. Jesus doesn't belong to Spanish people. He doesn't belong to Asians. He was born dead center in geography so that the Europeans can't claim him. The Africans can't say he's ours. The Asians can't say he belongs to us. He's the lamb that was slain for every tongue, every tribe, every nation, and every race. North Carolina can't do anything about it. Jesus is going to sweep through this country and set every prisoner free, whether the devil likes it or not. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I told you I was going to tell you too, so I'll do the second one, then I'll pray for you. My Uncle Ted that I played the video of, I love asking great men of God, what's the greatest miracle that you've ever seen? And because my cousin Teddy, that's a year apart from me, Ted's son, traveled with him. He was homeschooled, so he traveled on the road with his dad his whole childhood. I said, all that time traveling under your dad's tent, and when you were with Brother Shambach, what's the greatest thing you ever saw God do? And this is what he told me, and I verified it with my Uncle Ted. They had their tent up. It was either in Buffalo, New York, or Providence, Rhode Island, you know, in a bad part of town. And there's a guy sitting under the tent. Everybody say signs and wonders. There's a guy sitting under the tent that has his head like this, no neck. When my Uncle Ted sees him, just like me with the lady, he feels to pray for him. He says, sir, would you mind if I prayed for you? The guy shook his head no like this. He didn't mind. My Uncle Ted did what you do when you work miracles. You do what the person can't do. So he takes his head in between his two hands and lifts his head up to where it should be, which should have killed him because he had had 3.5 inches of vertebrae taken out, and they stabilized his head in between his collarbones. So if the head was ever lifted back up like that, it destabilized it and it would snap. So sometimes God does the miracle just to keep us out of jail. He's a good God. Can you say amen? My Uncle Ted picks his head up. The wife gasps because she knows you pick his head up like that. And before he can ask her, what did you gasp about? Before he could even pray, he felt my uncle didn't know he was missing vertebrae. He felt the vertebrae in his neck, 3.5 inches, grow right back under his fingers into the base of the scalp. And so, you know, when you're a faith preacher, you're supposed to pretend like you've seen everything before, but then sometimes God does something. My uncle went, whoa! And that lady saw the neck appear, and she lifted her hands. Well, then, this is what I want to get over to you. Some of you could testify tonight about how the devil did one attack and you thought that was going to be the end, but it just kept going. Because that's how the enemy works. It's like when you throw a rock in the water. It hits and then there's ripples and it keeps going. But did you know a miracle is the same way? Just like in Ohio, you'd have thought that had been a good enough miracle, that lady getting healed of muscular dystrophy, which caused her husband, who was only there so he could give her a ride, didn't even have any interest in the preaching, him get saved. And then the atheist was a ripple effect. Well, when this guy's neck grew back, my uncle notices an 8-year-old girl sitting directly behind him. And she's like this, with her eyes wet with tears and her mouth open. And my uncle feels the Lord speak to him to say to her,
Young lady, would you like to feel what a miracle feels like? Because you have to remember, if you're an adult and you sit behind somebody that has a disability, you've been trained to have enough class not to stare. You just don't look. But when you're 8, you stare. You sketch it on your iPhone. You just are obsessed with this man that has no neck. So when she saw it grow back, she probably was more impressed than the wife. My uncle says, would you like to feel what a miracle feels like? She shakes her head, yes. He said, take your finger and put it where his neck is. And when she did, whatever residue of the glory of God was still on his neck that grew the bones back, shot into that little girl. And she immediately started to speak out in other tongues loudly. Well, if you're a full gospel person and your daughter blurts out in tongues, you might tell her, hey, honey, he's preaching right now. But when you're from the Middle East, your father's an Arab, you're an Arabic, you've never been in church or heard anything about Jesus and just went there because they were helping to feed hungry people and stuff like that, and your daughter starts blurting out loudly in another language, the man, the father, the Muslim father, reached over and grabbed her arm for her to be quiet. But even if you're not an electrician, you know, the way you stop live wire is not by grabbing it. When the father reached over and grabbed her arm, it shot into him, and he started blurting out in other tongues. The father and daughter came forward to receive Jesus Christ that night, and the next night under the tent, the father came down and walked his daughter, wife, and all the rest of the sons and daughters, almost two rows of a family, received Jesus Christ from one miracle. It's one thing, listen, amen. Man, I like you people. It's one thing to tell people about God. It's another thing to show people that God is alive. That Jesus is. When that movie God's Not Dead came out, it made me sad how many full gospel preachers came out. Have you seen the movie God's Not Dead? Well, that's amazing. He's really not dead. Sorry you had to find out through a movie. If you'd start doing what the Lord tells you to do, the Lord will show you 2 or 3 times a day that he's alive, that he still answers those that call on his name, that he still listens to the petitions of those that are here. Can you say amen? I want you to lift your hands all over this room and just begin to thank God that he didn't have you hear stories about other people so you could thank God about what was done in Ohio and Rhode Island. That right now, the Spirit of God's coming upon you. God's not finished with you yet. The last chapter of your life's going to be the best one that was written. There's not one person in this room that God's finished with. God is looking to use everybody that's here. There's every person that's here. God has a plan for you. God has a way for you to connect into the flow of the anointing and be used mightily of God in this last hour of time. Keep your hands lifted. Just wait about 30 more seconds. Let Jesus touch you. Receive your healing even right now in Jesus' mighty name. How do you want the last chapter of your life to be? You want to see what happens? Or do you want to put your hand in the hand of Jesus, get a plan from the Holy Ghost, and whatever years we have left on this earth before Jesus comes back, make one more run and make the devil sorry he didn't kill you when he had the chance. And I'm going to tell you, there's going to be people that come out of tonight's meeting. The devil will rue the day he didn't have you overdose, kill you, accident. You're coming out of that, and you're going to wreck his plans in Jesus' name. God is going to anoint you to destroy the gates of hell in your generation. In Jesus' name. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, just keep your hands lifted and pray in the Holy Ghost. If you've not yet been filled with the Holy Ghost, God will fill you tonight. But just begin to thank him. Thank him. You can pray louder than 20 decibels. This is not an Episcopal church. Prondoro, God's not finished with you yet. Stir up the gift that's on the inside of you. You're not going out sick. You're not going out weak. You're not going out celebrating what the Lord did in the 90s as your pinnacle. No. Your best days are not behind you. Your best days are yet to come. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Tebrando, go ahead and pray. Let the Lord touch his people tonight. Let a mighty army be raised up out of here. Let a new generation of great Spanish preachers come out of this meeting. Let a new generation of great white Southern preachers come out of this meeting. Let a new generation of great black preachers like G.E. Patterson come out of this meeting.
In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. I may pray for a couple people before I pray for everybody. Start with you. Just stand right up if you would. Step right out to the aisle. Lift both hands. Keep your right hand up. Put your left one where one of your kidneys would be. And then God's not only going to touch your kidneys. God's going to put 3 new discs in your back. Even out your hips. And then the muscles that are tight from misuse or lack of use come loose in Jesus' name. Then they say you can't put new cartilage in a knee, but God can do anything. I know in my spirit it would have been very easy for you to go on disability and like be here with a walker, and you fought through it believing that God's going to restore your body, and the Lord gives you what you desire tonight in Jesus' name. Fill! This lady here in the white, black, and gold, like New Orleans Saints colors, come right up. Nice to meet you. Just lift your hands right there. Fire of God's all over you. Filled. Go right through. Receive it, or you're going to be walking backwards on the interstate. There's not even anything left to pray about with you. Totally different. In Jesus' mighty name. Just keep your hands lifted and just keep thanking God. Hallelujah. Somebody say, the Lord is good. I'm looking to touch you tonight. How old were you when you got saved? Like 3? Really? You have the most tender heart. Tonight, the Lord, or this morning, the Lord touched your body. But now the Lord's going to give you a touch. Lift both hands as if you were like, 18 all over again. Now, listen to what I tell you. You made a natural plan in your mind that as you're getting older, kind of like phase out of doing stuff in the ministry because you're older. But I tell you, that plan's not from God. The Lord's actually going to increase your effectiveness for the kingdom in these last hours of time, and you won't get tired because you'll do it in the anointing, like me. Amen. People wish I'd get tired. They'd have been home an hour ago. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you one thing before I pray for everybody. There's 2 ways that you can fulfill what God's called you to do. Or try to fulfill it. Praise the Lord. Stand up, the lady that was sitting by her. Did I pray for you this morning? Stand right up and step in front of her. That's the joy of the Lord. Come up right in front of her. Lift both hands, close both eyes. The joy of the Lord comes into you right now by the Spirit of God. True religion is not meat or drink, Romans 14:17. But it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I wish you wouldn't have stopped laughing and got all serious. You can actually receive better happy. Feel. There it is. Put this hand on your belly. Give her joy, O Lord. Joy unspeakable. Feel. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. There it is. Let that joy bubble up out of your belly. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. You don't have to let the anointing make you serious. Stand up, my friend. Power of God's all over you. Meet me right in the aisle. Hallelujah. Here, come right through. Lift both hands. I pray not just her. I pray every one of you leave here drunk on new wine. There it is. Bill! Don't hold on to me. I'm the problem.
Hallelujah. Lift your hands all over this place. Everything, you know, when the devil attacks, the first thing that goes is your joy. So wouldn't it make sense that when the Holy Ghost blows back through here, he fills you with joy, unspeakable and full of glory? Hey, every tear the devil made you cry, you'll spend the rest of this year laughing five times in his face, saying the Lord has done great things. Receive that tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. This lady in the black. Praise God. Lift both hands, close both eyes. I'm going to tell you, this goes for everybody that's in the ministry especially. The one thing the enemy tries to do when you launch out in the ministry is get people connected to you on staff and close that make it where you hate going to work. They drain you. You talk to them for 8 minutes and you feel like you need a 3-hour nap. So when I pray right now, the Lord's going to move certain people out of the way that make life not fun. And then God's going to replace them with people where when you get talking to them, when you get done talking to them, it feels like you had a three-hour nap. You get refreshed. Amen? Never hire people that you can't stand being around. Problems in life are free. You don't have to put them on the payroll. Amen? Praise God. You don't even have to stand up. Just keep your hand where it is and lift the other one up to the Lord. Lord touches you right now in your seat. Seals up your abdominal wall. All your blood starts to get processed correctly. 2 new kidneys in Jesus' name. See this nice looking guy in the white shirt and black tie? Go stand right in front of him. God's good. I'm going to tell you what the Lord's going to do. Once you stand in front of him, face me. Put your hands where your kidneys are. In Jesus' mighty name. If something's damaged, God will heal it. But if it's too damaged, he'll replace it. So tonight the Lord's going to give you 2 brand new kidneys. You can put the other hand there too. In Jesus, put both hands where your kidneys are. In Jesus' mighty name. Go right now underneath those hands, past the nail-scarred hand of Jesus. Be filled. There it is, right through you. In Jesus' mighty name. Now you're going to join the list of people this year that the next time you go back, they're going to tell you you never have to come back again. Amen. I know you received because you're laughing. Hallelujah. Somebody shout praise the Lord. I prayed for a lady in Waycross, Georgia. It was the first time I ever spoke to somebody like I spoke to that lady. Because I never said what I was going to say. I said, the Lord's going to heal your kidneys. And when I said it, I felt a check in my spirit. I said, no, actually, God's not going to heal your kidneys. Your kidneys are too damaged to be healed. She opened her eyes up like, I thought you were a faith preacher. I said, the Lord told me he's not going to heal your kidneys. He's going to give you 2 brand new ones. And so her pastors came and found me 2 weeks later. I was in Tampa, Florida. They said, do you remember that older lady that you prayed for on the last night? I said, yeah. She said, she went to dialysis 3 times a week, which is the most you can go on dialysis. When she went back the day after you prayed for her, they ran tests. And they said, you don't have to have dialysis today. She said, praise the Lord. And they said, you never have to come back for dialysis again. It's as if you have 2 brand new kidneys. So why don't you lift your hands all over this place? I feel to tell everybody, whatever like irreversible thing that you had going on over there, you just were going to have treatment for the rest of your life. Jesus touches you tonight, and you'll never have to be treated again. Stand up and join me in the aisle. You weren't here this morning, were you? All right, good. I don't want to pray for people like 3 or 4 times in one day. Lift both hands. Whatever irreversible situation there was, I tell you, the Lord has already reversed it. When you heard that story and your faith believed God that he'd do it for you, he touched you before I ever got back here. I see him doing it right now. your whole body in overall. That's the Lord. Because I know I'm not shaking you. And then they say, these evangelists work everybody up. How can I be any less worked up? My pulse is probably at about 52, 55. That's the anointing. Would you two mind if I prayed for you? Just meet me right over in the middle, both of you. Praise God. Both of you can lift your hands right there. As you do, the fire of God falls on you right now. Now, I'll tell you this. Job 42:10, and the Lord gave Job double everything that was taken. So I'm going to tell you, God's going to touch your bodies here, but there's actually where the enemy came and jerked with your family, people in your family, and money. And now, these next 5 months are restoration, where the Lord gives you back everything that was taken. Listen, I'll tell you this, from my spirit, it was like so many things, the attack came from so many directions. You're like logical people like me, but you started to say like, man, it's almost like the devil is sending this stuff. I don't want to sound like I'm crazy, but it's like, and it was. It was a demonic attack against your money, against members of your family, and then to weary you, where you found yourself not laughing as much and enjoying life. And I tell you, the Lord restored, not only restores the three things, but double. So double joy. You'll laugh together and enjoy life like you used to. God restores your family members that are away from Him. And then whatever was attacking the source of your income, the attack is removed and the money will flow better than it did before.
Glory.
And you get your joy back.
Bill!
In Jesus' mighty name. I don't know whether you ladies like me or not, but I feel to pray for you, and I like you. If you would just stand up, I won't make it embarrass you or nothing. Just stand up and lift both hands. Jesus loves you very much. Lift both hands and close both eyes. I won't even touch you. It's not like if you close your eyes, I'm going to sneak up and assault you. In Jesus' name, God puts His fire back on you right now. Serving the Lord will be the easiest thing that you've ever done. The devil will not have the satisfaction of taking you to hell. You're going to make heaven. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, whatever the enemy wrapped around you that was like the thing he used to pull you out of your relationship with God, the Bible says that they bound Samson with new ropes, and when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, the ropes fell off as if they were burned by fire. So right now, those things fall off, and serving the Lord will be the easiest thing you ever do. In Jesus' mighty name. This lady here on the end, just come here. I'd be a delinquent minister if I didn't minister to you right now. The Spirit of God's all over you. Lift both hands and close both eyes. Whoever you were around that said they were like a Christian, maybe they were even a minister, and they were like behind the scenes, phony. And so the devil used that like, well, this is just phony anyway. But no, you can tell I'm real, and you'll be the real thing. In Jesus' mighty name. So what the enemy took, God gives you back right now. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. There it is. Be delivered. Leave her alone. She doesn't need fan. Nobody's going to overheat. In Jesus' mighty name. Praise the Lord. You're delivered. You felt it go. It's like the enemy could just come in and torment you whenever he wants. He'll never come back. If he ever tries to come back, there'll be a big angel with a gold tooth and a neck tattoo that goes, no. Hallelujah. Love you too. Hope I get to meet all your friends this week. Come back, because you know you like me. You tried to not like me, but you failed. I really love you guys. I tell you, the hand of God's on both of you just like it's on her. God's going to use you mightily. Sometimes you give people a word, and what I know in my spirit is like I almost wish I was you. Because I can see in my spirit how great from now till Christmas is going to be. It'll be like... this would be a good way to end it. That same church in Ohio I told you about, when I went to go preach there, I was getting ready for church, and I felt the Lord speak to me to go give one of my neighbors a word. It was a lady that was about 62 years old. I don't do that. I don't walk around my neighborhood giving people words. Just getting ice cream or whatever. So I got dressed up, went to her house. She'd never seen me in a suit before, because when I'm home, you know, I'm home. Usually I look like I just checked out of a methadone clinic. I don't even shave. So I knocked on her door, and she saw me all dressed up, and it freaked her. She said, oh. And I didn't even know what I was going to tell her. Just like with Pastor Farina. The Lord just told me, go and give her a word. When she answered the door, it came right up out of my spirit. I said, as hard as life has been for the last 15 years, that's how easy it's going to be from this point forward. And she fell down on her knees and lifted her hands and started crying and thanking God. And I left, because the Lord didn't tell me to say anything else. I drove to that church in Ohio, an hour and a half away, and preached that night. And when I was preaching, the Lord spoke to me. The same word that I had you give to that lady, give to the whole church. That was probably about 3 years ago, and I just felt it come up again. So lift your hands in your seats. I tell you, as hard as things have been, not for 15 years, it's a recent thing. Where it's like everything was flowing. It's like you had life figured out, and I was like, what the heck? It's like everything we did that worked for so long now doesn't work. But no, it was a demonic attack to choke out your finances, take your joy. And actually, just so everybody can hear, that's what the devil wants to do. Where you work hard your whole life and then you get in your 50s where you're supposed to enjoy life and you don't get to, something sucks your money away. Somebody, your wife gets sick. Instead of spending time going on vacation, you go sit in doctor's offices with everybody hacking and coughing. That's the devil. I said, that's the devil. But I want to tell you, you didn't do anything wrong. The enemy made a special plan to attack you, but tonight the Lord makes a special plan to, number one, cut the hand off the attack, and number two, the devil's going to have to cough up double everything you took. And so it'll be the easiest thing in the world. You won't have to pray or fast. The praying and fasting you already did is what triggered what's happening right now. So go have your big steak tomorrow for lunch. Have ice cream. Eat a meal that would make Dr. Oz cry if he saw you eating it. You're going to enjoy these 5 months like never before, and the cash is going to start flowing right from Monday in Jesus' mighty name. So I told that lady, as hard as the last 15 years were, that's how easy it'll be from now on. I'll tell you, as hard as it was like the last 18 months, that's how easy it's going to be from here till when Jesus comes. So rejoice and be glad, for the Lord's given you the victory. Let me see your hand. Lift your other hand to the Lord. I'll tell you the exact same thing. As hard as life was for the last few years, like nothing worked out, the Lord turns the table on the devil tonight. Things will start flowing in the other direction. The tide has turned. Stand up and step out into the aisle. I know you thought you were safe sitting back here, but I'm an evangelist and I travel all over the auditorium. Lift both your hands right there. Whoever the devil used to mess with your life, it like gave an entrance to anxiety and fear. The Lord breaks that off for you right now. That spirit leaves in Jesus. There it is. Fill. Fill. God will give you your joy back right now. Joy. There it is. Now I'm done with her. Hand of God's on you, my friend. And has been for a long time. God's not finished with you yet. Imagine if a new door opened up to speak and minister out of nowhere. And it was like fun to minister. People that actually wanted to hear preaching. Amen? So watch what happens. God will open a door for you and use you. Amen? You don't even have to stand up in the blue shirt there. Just lift both your hands right there. Close both eyes. God's going to turn that frown into a permanent smile. Amen. There it is. Whatever levels were off because of organs starting to shut down and fail, the Lord reinvigorates the organ. There it is. It's done. Oh, praise the Lord. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. Well, I don't want to leave out anybody in the room. This lady in the nice blue shirt, just lift your hands right there. You don't even have to stand up. I won't, not her, not just her. I won't embarrass anybody. I'm not an evangelist that calls people out and says, "You were at a Motel 6 with your secretary last night." That ain't me. So if I call you out, pretend it's The Price is Right and you're getting a washing machine or something. Try to act happy. Anyway, just lift your hands right there in the seat. As easy as it was for me to serve the Lord all my life because of my mom and dad, I feel the Lord speak to me. It's like the devil tried to work in your home when you were small, where it's almost like the path was paved for you to not serve the Lord, and you broke out of it anyway. Here you are sitting in a revival meeting on Sunday night, when if you'd have gone with the flow, you'd have never gone. Forget revival meeting, you'd have never gone to church. And I tell you right now, because you resisted the devil and turned to God, the Lord meets you here tonight, and God is going to begin to fight your battles. So listen when I tell you this. Every battle that you're fighting right now, it is transferred out of your hand and into God's hand as of 9:49 Eastern time. The battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. And all the things that brought you sorrow, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and addeth no. You don't know that verse? The blessing of the Lord makes a man rich and addeth no. Everybody say no sorrow. You know, God will permanently shut the faucet of sorrow off in your life. I don't cry. I make devils cry. Can you say amen? Amen. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. In His presence is fullness of. So the Lord fills you with joy. Just lift both hands to the Lord. Open your heart and the Lord will put His joy inside right now. In Jesus' name. You'll never be the same. You'll never be the same. Just lift your hands all over this place and let the Lord touch you. No use being in a hurry. Everything closed 2 hours ago. I'm not sure anything was open all day. So you might as well just relax and let the Lord touch you. Praise the Lord. I have work in the morning. The lights are still on in the nursing home. It's not that late. Can you say amen? They're still watching Jeopardy eating pudding. So what are you in a hurry about? Somebody shout hallelujah. Someone say, God's not finished with me yet. Stand on your feet, everybody. As you do, bow your head and close your eyes. Other than that, no moving around. I'll tell you, one of the reasons I started coming late to church was most places had such depressing praise and worship that by about 7:15, I'd feel like quitting the ministry. So I say that because to be in a meeting with an anointed keyboard player, anointed organist, and extremely anointed drummer, it's nice to walk into a place and feel the anointing that's on praise and worship. So great job. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God's going to do two big things tonight before we go our separate ways. First, God won't anoint unclean vessels. So the reason Jesus died and shed His blood first and then the Holy Ghost was poured out was the blood had to cleanse people so that they could be a vessel that can be fully filled and flooded with God, as the Bible says. Sin will make you where you... Actually, the anointing will mess you up if you allow sin to stay in your life. There's a long list of dead preachers that thought they could mix sin and the anointing. You will die. You have to live holy, even as God is holy. Jesus said you must be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Matthew 5:48. I know they don't preach that in America. And that's why the White House got lit up in rainbow colors, because the church quit taking a stand against wickedness. But Paul told Timothy, if you keep yourself pure, that's in the New Testament. If you keep yourself pure, you'll be a vessel fit for the master's use, a special vessel set apart for a special work. Don't listen to people on TV that make it sound like, I heard one guy say, you have your sins and I have my sins. We're all at different levels of grace. You'll all be in different levels of hell if you don't get saved. You can't have sin, tolerated sin. Well, we sin and don't even know it. No, look through the list of sins in the Bible. You can't do them and not know it. You can't accidentally murder people. You can't accidentally commit adultery. You can't accidentally get drunk. They just released a study last night. I saw it on NBC News. That no drinking of any kind, even in moderation, is healthy. It carries risks no matter how little you drink. So that's going to devastate a lot of American youth ministries and conference speakers. But alcohol is a destroyer. Do not let yourself get swept into this modern American move where you have a lackadaisical attitude towards sin. Sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. It'll kill you. Doesn't make you... Well, how many of you know if we sin, we'll never have as happy a life as we would if we lived? No. Sin will kill you. It'll kill your marriage. It'll give the devil a door to take your children away. Sin is a spiritual cancer that will destroy everything God wants to do. You have a choice in life. You can get rid of sin, or sin will get rid of you. Sin destroys everything it touches. But the blood of Jesus destroys the power of sin in every life. And so every man and woman that's here, that you allowed yourself to get lulled into American doctrine, you know, well, we all have our things that were... I had a lady tell me that in Newark. Met me on the street. Well, you know, we're all sinners. I said, no, we're all not. I am saved. I'm born again. And if any man be in Christ, he's not a sinner that got patched up. He's a new creature. The old life is dead. Behold, all things become new. Don't let the devil give you a little toleration. Well, you know, that's my thing I'm still working on. You don't work on sin. You get rid of sin. You repent of it. You let God set you free from it. And you let him put a fire on the inside of you to live holy all the days of your life. Every man and woman that's here. We had, how many came to the altar this morning? 21? 23 came to the altar to receive Jesus Christ this morning. 1,700 opening night in Newark. Just under 3,000. The last 6 days, you add this to it, what? 3,023. And I'm not done. There's 320 million people in this country. I'm not done till every one of them has heard the gospel, till there's at least one Christian in every family in the United States. I'm telling you, God's going to give it to us. I said, God's going to give it to us. But right now I'm done speaking in generalities. I'm going for America. But tonight, I'm not going for America. I'm going for you. You live here. I'm not asking you to take a stand for America. I'm asking you to take a stand for your own house. That you can't control what laws they pass at the state government in North Carolina or at the federal level. But I'm going to tell you what you can control. You can say, as for me and my house, not we're going to try to serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. When you make that decision right now, it'll slam the door on every plan the enemy has for you and your children. Can you say amen? Very quickly, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I mean, what a great time to get saved. Getting ready to go back to high school. Getting ready to go back to university. I'm sure the devil has big plans for you at school this year. But you can shut those plans off like a switch and turn the plan of God on for your life and be a holy, anointed man or woman on that campus that disrupts all the plans of the devil. Disrupts all the plans of the devil at your factory. At the mechanic shop, wherever your foot shall tread, God will give you the land. But it starts with your decision. If you say, Jonathan, that's me. Either you've never received Jesus Christ. Think of it. You don't get to heaven because you attended enough church services. There has to be a time in your life where you make a public decision to receive Jesus Christ and turn your back on sin. If you've never done that, or if you once did it when you were younger,
But life went haywire. Somebody died, divorce, bankruptcy. You got disconnected. God brought you here tonight so I could call you back. Jesus is coming soon. Wouldn't it be great before you go to heaven to give the devil one last shot? He thought he had you, and under the final bell, you put your hand in the nail-scarred hand of Jesus, and when that trumpet sounded, you weren't left behind. You were taken to meet your Lord and Savior in the air. If you found either of those two groups, either you've never received Jesus Christ, or you once didn't fell away, and you say, no, I'm not finishing on my way to hell. I'm going to start a new chapter tonight with God. I'm not putting it off one more hour. I want you to quickly put your hand up high and wave it at me, and we'll pray together right now. In Jesus' name, I see you in the back. I see you. Who else? I know there's more. Anybody else? I see your hands in the back. Very quickly. We don't do this to embarrass you. We do it to be scriptural. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father that's in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. This will be the night, August 26, 2018. At 10 o'clock, you can say, that was the day I took a public stand. I made my decision to receive Christ, and I was never the same. Everybody that lifted a hand and meant business with God, I want you to come out of your seat and join me at the front right now. We're going to pray. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Come right now. If you lifted a hand and meant business with God, come now. I see you. Who else before we pray? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. 10 more seconds. Anybody? God bless you. Anybody else anywhere? Amen. This is your night. Come right up. God bless you. How old are you? I was 4 when I did it, so it lasts. Everybody that came up, lift both hands to the Lord. Here, come over this way. If you stayed over there, I'd have had to play zone. Now I can play man to man. Lift both hands to the Lord. Now say this from your heart. God hears this prayer. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I've come forward tonight to give you my life. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me in your blood. I believe in my heart you raised Jesus from the dead. I confess with my mouth Jesus Christ is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and my Savior. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Fill me with your power. Where I was weak, make me strong. In Jesus' name. Now confess this. I am saved. I am a Christian. God is my Father. Heaven is my home. And I'll never turn back. In Jesus' name. Amen. Keep your hands lifted. Let me bless you. Now, the same blood that erases sin erases all sickness and disease. So it already left you. Fill. You blessed all the days of your life. God will make it give you more than enough power to serve Him. Thank you, Father, that the same grace you gave me when I was young that kept me serving you all these years, you give to my friend. He'll always go forward and never backwards. In Jesus' name. Blessed in Jesus' name. Have the best year in school that you've ever had. Have favor with your teachers, because that's better than being smart. In Jesus' name. Now, you two guys and my new sister, if you go on my website, revivaltoday.com, I have a button that says I just got saved. If you click that and fill that out, I'll send you a CD for free, and you never get any fundraising, anything. Just if I could, like, spend 90 minutes with you, what I'd want to give you. So, revivaltoday.com, I just got saved. Congratulations. Amen. Give our my new brothers a new great hand. We'll never be the same. Lift your other hand to the Lord.
That's what salvation is. Welcome to the family. Give Jesus a big, big hand clap. This young lady here, just come right up and stand on the stage. I'm going to pray for a bunch of people real quick and then I'll leave. Go ahead. You can come right up. Or if you don't want prayer, just throw a hymnal at me and that'll be my signal that you don't want prayer. This lady in the black t-shirt with the neon green, come right up. My friend that I prayed for today with the gray t-shirt and the fluorescent orange, you can come up. In fact, let me have this lady with the nice blazer come right up. Yep. Then you might as well come right up, my newly saved friend. Come right up. In Jesus' name. You can join my friend in the orange or red and white. Please report to the platform for prayer. These two, go right up. And then I'll say, anybody that's 39 or younger that would like hands laid on you, you can line up as well. We'll start a second line. It's right across the front. Take two steps forward. Lift both hands, close both eyes. As you do, the fire of God falls on you. Wherever you felt like a deficiency in the ministry, where you were asking the Lord to increase your anointing in that area, you already got the impartation for it tonight in the Word. And now it begins to overflow. In Jesus' mighty name. Lift both hands to the Lord. You know, some people you meet them and you don't like them. And then some people you meet them and you're like, I like you three. I like you. Lift both hands. Lift both hands all across the platform. Jesus' mighty name. You guys that are in back of them, just make another line here at the altar. So I'll say from you. That way I can get to everybody and you want right down flat on flat ground. In Jesus' name. Whatever song you were playing when I first started preaching, play that one. Something praiseful. I hate the song Reckless Love. It's like my least favorite song. I just can't picture Jesus busting through walls like the Kool-Aid man in 1988. Lift both hands to the Lord. There. That's a good one, whatever one that is. With your hands lifted, say this. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Ghost and fire. I'm not selling out to this world. I receive your power. I receive your anointing. Fill me now. In Jesus' mighty name. I tell you, this girl right here, come right up. I'll start with you. Just stand next to him. Right here is good. Lift both hands. I don't know what you were doing when we were, but the fire of God hit you. It's my name. Lift your hands all across. Hey, here's an idea. If you're a Christian, rather than watching like it's a psychic show on Coney Island, why not stretch your hands forth and begin to pray for those that are up here and ask God to touch them and fill them with his fire. Amen? Go ahead. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. In Jesus. There it is. filled. There it is. In Jesus' mighty name. Come here, my friend. Maybe I missed you on the age limit. I like you. You're anointed. Lift both hands, close both eyes. You already have too much joy. God's going to give you even more. In Jesus' mighty name. Fill. Fresh anointed. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for it, Lord. Fill. Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. Push that. There it is. You'll never be the same. You'll never be the same. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. I know they say God doesn't speak King James, but I'm going to do it anyway. Thou hast said that I have this battle, and this will be my battle for life. But the Lord says the battle ends right now. You'll never go back, ever. The enemy has permanently lost his hold on you in Jesus' name. It's done. When God says it's over, it's over. There, lift. In Jesus' mighty name. I tell everybody on this platform, and I tell everybody that's still in the pews, whatever battle that you thought you were locked in for life, that devil was defeated tonight. The devil is under your feet. He's not eye to eye. He's not over your head. You have the victory. You're not going to get the victory. You have the victory, and you'll never go back. No more defeat. Always the head, never the tail. If you receive it, one final time, take 30 good seconds. Clap your hands all you and shout unto God. Joyful noise. Fuego. Gloria a Dios. How old are you, Alex? Huh? Come right over. You driving back tonight? Lift both hands, close both eyes. As you do, the fire of God falls on you. Father, I thank you for the last remaining brother of Goliath, 7 feet tall. He's checking you for 6 fingers. Jesus, mighty. Come here. Lift your other hand to the Lord. I know what I'm telling you is not out of the blue. Tonight the Lord's put his hand on you for full-time ministry. As you've asked the Lord, is this my desire? Is this your desire? The Lord tells you now that, as confirmation that this is his desire. So plan accordingly. And anybody that tells you there's no money in the ministry and you need to make another plan, I pray the Lord makes their tongue cleave to the roof of their mouth and shut them up for about 18 months. In Jesus' mighty name. Give the Lord another great hand clap. Just stay where you're at. Come on, give Jesus a big, big hand clap. Lift your hands one final time. This isn't my thing that I made up. This is in the Bible. Deuteronomy 28, 1 to 14. If you serve me, I will make you the head and never the tail. You will always be on top. You will never be at the bottom. When your enemy attacks you from one direction, I'll make him run from you in seven directions. You will lend to many, but thou shalt not borrow. So the Bible does not teach ups and downs. The Bible teaches always the head and never the tail. So I tell you, the last battle you lost will be the last battle you ever lose. From this day forward, you don't go up and down. You go from glory to glory, victory to victory, and strength to strength. Pray for two final people. Pray for you. Just step all the way to the side. And this nice guy here. Come right out. Both of you lift your hands to the Lord. I tell you, whoever you've been helping in the ministry, you've been doing like all the unglamorous work, but the Lord's seen you as you've done that. And now God's going to open a bigger door for you that's going to get the ball rolling. God's going to use you mightily to impact your generation. In Jesus' name. That's it. I need this hand. I need both hands. You don't even have to stand up. Just put both hands where your lungs and heart are. There. I have a gift from the Lord. Salvadoran, but his cousin is El Salvadoran and Puerto Rican. Our whole side of the family is Hispanic. I know you can't tell by looking at me, but get all the other Spanish people in North Carolina and bring them here. The more El Salvadorians, the better. The more Dominicans and Puerto Ricans, the better. Mexican. Get them all here. Tell them I love them. Tell them they have a white friend. Going to use you. And you'll never be poor. Instead of money getting subtracted, money will start to multiply. In Jesus' name. Well, clap your hands one more time. You guys can go back to your seats. We'll dismiss you in just a second. Come on, give Jesus a hand clap worthy of a king. Song Reckless Love, besides the Kool-Aid Man thing, I don't like any song where I sing about Jesus that he's coming at. I'm saved. Christ lives in my heart. He's not pursuing me. I'm saved. I can see that goes over well because people don't like that, but that's your problem. Christ lives in me. I said Christ lives in me. If he's chasing me down, that means, what does that mean? I'm running from him. I'm not running from him. He lives in me. I said he lives in me. And if you sang that tonight, I wasn't here, so I'm not picking on you. I came at 7:17. And again, that's why I normally come at 7:30. That way, I don't tick off the entire band and worship team. You can be seated. I'm going to challenge you to make this the most spiritual week that you've ever had. So Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday is going to go like this. I want to challenge you to do like you did tonight. I mean, that's pretty awesome. For the crowd to grow from Sunday morning to Sunday night, and I believe they'll do the same thing. So tomorrow, we'll make tomorrow a miracle service, and this will be the best place to be in all North Carolina. So don't just come, but invite people, and invite people that need help. Anybody that's addicted to drugs, stage 4 cancer, anybody that's like going to die if God doesn't help them, please get them here. And let them know I love them. Let them know what to expect. And we're going to believe for God to set every captive free tomorrow night. Amen? Amen. So we're going to do what a lot of people don't like. But believe it or not, there's people that like it. I'm going to receive an offering for our ministry tonight. And Jesus said, if you give, you shall receive. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, your gift will return to you. I will cause men to give into your bosom. And so, if you don't like giving, this is what we call the free will offering. So there's no reason to get upset. If you notice, I'm not brandishing a 357 and pointing it at your head. You're free to give or free not to give. But for those who know about the covenant of giving, and if you've never done it before and want to get in on it, you should. I know preachers are supposed to be embarrassed about taking offerings, but I caught a weird disease back in the 90s where I just don't get embarrassed. I don't think the ASPCA should be able to raise money for goldfish that have ADHD and every other cause. And then for some reason, preachers are supposed to be embarrassed about going after funds to get the gospel to the country. And so anyway, I want to challenge you to not only give, but ask the Lord what would represent for you this week an offering of faith, your best, beyond your best. And then as you do it, it's like Pastor Brian Tomes, where I'm going to be next week in Massachusetts. The first time I came to his church, they had 150 people. We stayed for 5 weeks and had 270 some first-time decisions for Christ. And then I think like $90,000 came in the offering, and the most they had ever had come in the offering in 40 years was $2,200. So I used to tell that story, and he told me 2 weeks ago, he said, you need to tell the rest of the story. He said, after you left, all the offerings went through the roof. People kept giving like that, and they're now in a building now that seats about 1,100. Because when you give, the blessing doesn't go to the person who receives the money. The blessing stays with the giver. Can you say amen? Your amen was weak, and that's usually how it goes at offering time in America. Turns into First Presbyterian as soon as you announce you're taking an offering. But that's fine. Just ask the Lord what he'd have you to give, and the instructions are pretty clear on the envelopes. If you're watching on live stream and you'd like to give, you can go to revivaltoday.com and click Give Now. And we have about 8 different ways you can give. You can donate Bitcoin. You can basically do everything but sell a kidney on the black market.